Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Friday, the 14th day of May 2010. Our article about the state of Texas and Governor Rick Perry, who heads up the Film Commission, gives him a lot of political power. Funding the race war film Machete is one of the top stories on Drudge and is swamping Infowars.com. But our IT guys are battling to keep the site up right now. But that article is now national news, all over talk radio, Washington Post, you name it. And that's why I've been hammering this since Sunday, because that's how we punch through the mainstream media. That's how we ram through the bulkhead and breach and get the information out to everybody. And it's in a bunch of newspapers today, not just the Washington Post, but the Drudge Report and just countless other places. So we definitely blew this wide open. Good job to all of the listeners. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that today, though. Okay, we've done our job. We've gotten the truth out about this. And my uncle did call me last night. And, of course, he speaks fluent Spanish, lived and worked a lot in Latin America. And he said, have you seen the May issue of National Geographic? And I said, no, I haven't. And he gave me the title of the article about Mexico creating all these new saints. And the most popular now, it's more popular than Mary, that in the Catholic religion is a saint. And it's the Grim Reaper, and it's what the drug dealers are into, and it's about murder and death and everything else. And that's basically, from studying the sociology, that's what's in Machete. That's what this is all about. I mean, this is like devil cult stuff. I mean, this is Mexico is being swallowed by basically an evil spirit, an evil mindset. I don't know what to call it. I mean, 20,000+ deaths, 10,000+ in the last year, murder, death, kidnappings. I mean, it's just descending into hell, and the Southwest is being pulled in. And I was reading this article last night, and it was so depressing. It was so depressing to look at the photos of National Geographic and to read about it. And even National Geographic was just stunned. Many families have like skeletons and the Grim Reaper, and it's not Day of the Dead holiday stuff. It's way past that. And so the new saint being invented by Robert Rodriguez is Machete. He's prayed to above Christ. He is God, and he will murder the gringo. And that's why this is so dangerous, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, this is demonic all the way. And even if you don't believe in a physical Beelzebub, you know, humans through these archetypes manifest this. Okay, I'm done talking about that. If I have time later, I'm going to go over some of it. It's all coming up. Something hit me this morning driving into work, though, and I'm going to cover it when we come back. And that is that we have been basting in the last 3 years in this depression, this slow, deepening depression, and we've just become acclimated to economic crises. Even mainstream media has said we have bailout fatigue. Right now, Sarkozy is threatening to pull out of the euro. It will collapse. All of Europe is on the verge of total financial collapse. The United States is on the verge of financial collapse, complete collapse. I mean, any day it could happen. It could happen today. It could happen 6 months from now. It could happen 2 years from now. But there is no way to reverse the hyperinflation and what the banks have done. Okay, so we're going to talk about that. We also have a surprise guest joining us in the next hour. Okay, I'm just going to leave it at that. This is big news. Okay, and that's coming up in the next hour. The Trilateral Commission insider says that the globalists do want war with Iran and are planning to launch it. That is coming up. Very important broadcast today. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com have been up and down all morning long because of the mega traffic that both the sites are getting. So we're working on that. But as we get more and more traffic, it's basically like weightlifting. It teaches us to tweak out the servers, beef them up. And our IT bill is over $400,000 a year. And that's why I want to thank all the listeners to this syndicated radio broadcast. We're not funded by the Ford Foundation or by the Texas Film Commission or by the CIA. We're funded by you, the American people. This is the American people's radio network. This is the GCN Radio Network. This is Infowars.com. This is PrisonPlanet.com. And we're also now posting the exclusive Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com articles every day at GCNLive.com as another mirror backup site so the information gets out one way or another. There have been some behind-the-scenes repercussions because of my strong stance against the racism in the film Machete and the racial division it creates. But I hope that that can be cleared up before I have to take legal action. It's just so much is happening as we become a bigger and bigger target. We are on the cover of Radio Inc., the most influential talk radio publication for the industry. We've got scores of affiliates, new affiliates now calling in the last few days, wanting to pick up the show. So we have definitely broken through to a new level. And so the attacks are going to intensify on this operation, especially as everything we talked about and all of our expert guests have talked about comes true. The credibility level, no matter how radical and wild this broadcast sounds, continues to be vindicated and borne out by things that are happening currently on the geopolitical scene. The globalists have miscalculated for the last 50 years, saying there's no world government, private central banks don't have fractional reserve banking, they're not engaged in a global takeover, and now they're publicly saying it's a global takeover, a world government for your own good. And because we were there exposing them, people out there fighting the New World Order before I was even born 36 years ago and being laughed at and ridiculed and called names and set up and demonized and imprisoned because the great patriots of this nation, of every race, color, and creed, were telling the truth. We now are in a fighting position. We are now in a position to defeat these people if we take the initiative. I just got chills when I said that because this is history that is unfolding right now. All right, here's the news. President Nicolas Sarkozy threatens to pull out of France out of the euro. President Nicolas Sarkozy threatens to pull France out of euro. London Telegraph. What did Webster Griffin Tarpley say on this radio show on Tuesday? He said he's looking for Sarkozy to pull out. Right again, just pointing out that the guests we have here have stunning analysis abilities. Just incredible. So that's going on. Trilateral Commission wants war with Iran. We're about to cover that in a moment. You heard me right. Trilateral Commission wants war with Iran. This dovetails with Reuters. Israel primed for war with Iran. Netanyahu. Any idea what's going to happen on that front? U.S. faces same problems as Greece. Says Bank of England that the U.S. may go down. Red alert. European power brokers present proposal for new economic and political order, world order, PrisonPlanet.com. CEO predicts market Armageddon, Dow down to 5,000, red alert. It is all coming up, but I wanted to bring Paul Joseph Watson up. We're going to work on getting Jim Tucker on, but also the We Are Change member. Look how We Are Change just continues to get key news out. And the Love Police, a kind of spinoff of We Are Change, you know, going into press conferences and pointing out that the election in England was totally rigged, where all the candidates were basically selected by the globalists. That made national news. We Are Change in Dublin, standing up to David Rockefeller, pointing out he won't get his world government a week ago before they plunged Europe by design. That's made international news. So just devastating the enemy on every front by injecting the truth that the king has no clothes, that the emperor is but naked. But we have a PrisonPlanet.com article about this top story. Trilateral Commission wants war with Iran. Trilateral Commission member unwittingly tells We Are Change activists of plans for world government. This is so important and up on PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com right now. Let's go to the head editor over at PrisonPlanet.com, Paul Joseph Watson, joining us from England. Paul, break this down for us.
Yeah, this is a report by Jim Tucker out of the American Free Press about the recent Trilateral Commission meeting which took place last week in Dublin. And as we know, the Trilateral Commission is the sister group to Bilderberg. It's the entree to Bilderberg routinely happens about a month or 3 weeks before Bilderberg meets. And they kind of set the agenda for what Bilderberg are going to discuss. And because it's a less influential organisation, although it still has many of the same members, the security around the Trilateral Commission meetings is not as intense as it is at Bilderberg, which is why, as we saw earlier this week, the Sovereign Independent Group in Ireland were able to confront David Rockefeller, who's the chairman of Trilateral Commission, both outside the building and inside the building where they were having dinner after one of their meetings. So now we have this story which Tucker writes about today, where a chief advisor to the Russian government, Mikhail Slobodovsky, was not confronted but just got into a conversation with a We Are Change Ireland member named Alan Keenan. And this Russian, Slobodovsky, mistakenly thought he was talking to a fellow Trilateral Commission member because he later mentioned the fact that he was under Chatham House rules, which means they can't discuss anything outside their own inside circle. But he fooled him. How he did it, I don't know. Obviously, you probably get him on the show and he'll be able to go into it in more detail.
Yeah, we're trying to contact different We Are Change groups over there this morning via your recommendation, Paul. Continue.
But he got into a conversation with this Trilateral member who basically told him, and this is what Tucker quotes, quote, "We are deciding the future of the world. We need a world government." And referring to Iran, he said, quote, "We need to get rid of them." And then, quote, suddenly Slobodovsky noticed that Keenan's name tag was different from the TC label, Trilateral Commission label, and said, "I can't talk. We operate under Chatham House rules." So he suddenly realized that he wasn't a fellow member, and he shut up pronto. But just that revelation, A, that we're deciding the future of the world, we need a world government, and B, again, they're talking about a war with Iran, is an alarming revelation. Because, as Tucker explains in the rest of the article, and as we've seen unfolding over the past few weeks, their agenda to exploit the financial crisis to enact global government by posing as the saviours is failing. The EU is collapsing. We now have Paul Volcker, the former Fed chairman, as well as Romano Prodi, and as you said earlier, Sarkozy threatening to quit the euro. Top financial experts, Jim Rogers, numerous others, are saying that basically the euro is in big trouble. Today it's hit a low against the dollar that hasn't been seen since the collapse of Lehman Brothers. Many people saying it's going to parity with the dollar, which hasn't happened for roughly 8 years. And it's in big trouble, and that matters because the euro was sold on the basis that an entire continent using one currency would provide stability. But as we've seen with the situation in Greece, the opposite has proven to be the case, because when one country gets sick, they all get sick. It's contagious. Now we're talking about Portugal, Spain and Italy going the same way as Greece. They're going to have massive debt burdens which they can't deal with. So the whole European project is in trouble because current events have shown that it just doesn't work. So the ultimate agenda to introduce a global bank, a bank of the world, allied to a global currency, is in big trouble. And that's what Tucker said. Other Trilateral Commission members told his sources that were in there that, quote, it gets worse. every year, not better. Why do we even bother to meet anymore? We can't simply give up and quit, another responded. Bilderberg expects us to have a plan outlined. So, Trilateral Commission members, Bilderberg members, are really crestfallen. They're downbeat because their model for economic global governance is falling flat on its face. And then there's another article today, which I'm going to write about after I get off the air. Dominique Strauss-Kahn, the managing director of the IMF, he said in a speech on May 11th, 3 days ago, quote, "Finally, in principle, a new global currency issued by a global central bank with robust governance and institutional features could provide a nominal anchor and risk-free asset for the system independent of national currencies. This global central bank could also serve as a lender of last resort." So they're still trying to push through this bank of the world allied with a global currency, even as the main model for pan-European currency, which is the precursor to a global currency, the euro, completely collapses. Now, we've talked many times about a bank of the world and how that will come into being and what it will look like. Well, we had an indication. I wrote an article about this on April 30th. And basically, the chief of the European Central Bank, Jean-Claude Trichet, came out in a speech to the CFR at the end of April. And he said that the Bank for International Settlement would be the de facto global central bank, which is alarming because the BIS was founded by Nazis.
Let's finish up in one more segment on this incredibly important story. Trilateral Commission wants war with Iran.
Ooh, Lord, in my trouble so hard. Ooh, Lord, in my trouble
Trilateral Commission so hard. Wants war with Iran.
Don't nobody know my
We are changes. Got video of David Rockefeller inside eating dinner. They didn't get video of this, unfortunately. They infiltrated directly into the meeting, just like I infiltrated Bohemian Grove. People ask, how can you do something like this? Guts. Guts is enough. If you're willing to take action, you will be successful. Most of the time. As real media, to go in and ask real questions. Now, the Trilateral Commission is made up of the central bankers. It's a private meeting house of the financiers that actually captain the top echelon of the Bilderberg Group. Here it is. Israel primed for war with Iran, Reuters. Here's another one. Russia warns U.S. against unilateral Iran sanctions. But it looks like Russia has been softening to an attack on Iran in the news, so that would dovetail with this information. Continuing, as we got cut off by the break, you were talking about the central bankers have said they want a new global constitution. Outgoing head of England, Gordon Brown, has said that as well, run by this particular central banking arm. Go ahead.
Yeah, what they've called for is a global central bank that issues a global currency. And Jean-Claude Trichet, at the end of April, in a CFR speech, said that it would be run basically by the BIS, which is the Bank for International Settlement. The directors of the BIS are Ben Bernanke, Mervyn King, who is the chief of the Bank of England, as well as Trichet himself, who is the director of the European Central Bank. So it's basically an organization that's purely made up of global central bankers, and they're the ones who are going to rule the global economy through a single currency. But what's more, even more alarming than that is if you trace the history of the Bank for International Settlement, and this is documented in Charles Hyams' book called Trading with the Enemy, how the Allied multinationals supplied Nazi Germany throughout World War II. And basically, the BIS was used by the Nazis who controlled it, people like Hitler's finance minister, people who were, Hermann Schmidt, the director of IG Farben, was also one of the directors of the BIS, as was Baron von Schroeder, who helped organize and hold the deposits of the Gestapo in this bank. So it was run by Nazis in collaboration with American industrialist at the time.
Now, Paul, don't talk bad about Nazis in the EU in the first Bilderberg meeting, admitting it was a second Nazi takeover, or the Southern Poverty Law Center will call you a racist. You do not talk bad about the Nazis bankers, okay? That's not right.
Well, exactly. But every stone you uncover related to the European Union and how it got started and how Bilderberg got started, you'll find a Nazi. They were all on the team to begin with, because the central banks that run the world and ran the world then funded both sides of World War II. At the start, it looked like Hitler was going to win World War II, so they were financing Hitler's war machine through the BIS, which is now going to be our new global central bank. And basically, it's the same people today that are using this institution to centralize power into their own hands and to try to achieve their world government. And if they can't do it by exploiting the economic crisis that they created, then from this trilateral commission leak, it looks like they're going to go down the even more desperate route, which is by starting a war with Iran, which of course could quite possibly lead to World War III.
Meanwhile, the general public are talking about basketball finals. They're talking about Michelle Obama's exercise routine and the garden she's got in the backyard. And openly, Sarkozy's talking about pulling out of the euro. I mean, this is incredible. I mean, we're seeing history unfold right now. The entire financial market could collapse at any time. And it's like we're tied to railroad tracks here, Paul, trying to warn the public.
Yeah, and the big thing I keep reading about is that there's going to be a property market, real estate crash in China starting before the end of the year. And top financial experts have said that if China goes down, then it's going to take the Dow down to below 5,000. I mean, that's...
Yeah, I was telling a yuppie the other day that China, 90% chance, according to Farber and others that have had a good track record, is going to go down in the next year. And they just laughed and said, good, you know, they're our competition. They don't understand China is the biggest holder of our debt, and most of our manufacturing is done there. You know, there's this ingrained thing in the public to say, oh, good, someone else is going to have a problem. That'll help me. No, that's not how this works.
Well, everything, I mean, to be invested in the stock market and not know that it's all about confidence in the global economy is just beyond stupidity. If China goes down, I mean, you know, they've got double-digit growth every year. For them to go into a recession is just, you know, outstrips anything during the Great Depression.
Stay there. Let's do five more minutes, and I'm going to shift gears into the overall economy. We are back live. Thank you for joining us on this Friday transmission. I'll be live Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central Time. We have a surprise guest joining us in the second hour. And I don't know if they're going to be able to make it on. I'll just leave it at that. It's questionable if they'll be able to get on air with us from where they are. To give you a little hint, this is big, 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 dangerous news. Dangerous information. But that's our business here at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. We're fighting the Infowar to stop the prison planet. This is an all-out Infowar against tyranny, against a criminal scientific dictatorship in almost total control of the planet right now. In fact, I never got to it yesterday. Bill Gates with all of this new vaccine news. Gates Foundation researches nanoparticle vaccines. They go into the brain, and the viruses literally reprogram your brain. How do they do that? They attack the nerve endings, the neurons in different areas of the brain. They have hundreds of different vaccines that are to be put in your food and in your water and in the air. Because they openly say the public isn't listening. They won't take the shots. Don't worry. We've got basically nanotech is what it is. Heaven help us. I mean, we're at the point where soon, I'm not kidding. I know some of you don't understand. This is documented. Basically, you just wake up and you're now a zombie. That's how they're going to do it. Where the public, you know, suddenly your neighbor's completely different. It's like body snatchers. And then a month later, you wake up with a really bad headache. The virus has hit the different areas of your brain. And it's over. Your personality is now completely different. And then, after everybody's been basically zombified, they can just say, go to this place and we're going to get rid of you for the earth. And everyone will march in and the globalists will sit around laughing. You think that's a joke? That's the plan, okay? So go ahead and laugh, okay? Go ahead. It's real funny. And everything else is real funny. Now, it's so dangerous, the globalists are debating when they should launch this. And they're beta testing just regular vaccines that are delivered via nanotech. I just can't even handle it anymore. It's 2010. It's Buck Rogers. They went to the moon in the 60s. They tell you the fastest plane in the world is the SR-71 Blackbird in service in 1955. 55 years ago. Baloney. Baloney. The technology we're allowed to have and we're given is 25 to 30 years old, depending on what type of technology. Some of it's 50 years old. The space shuttle was designed by the Nazis in 1935. That's documented. My mother and uncle in Austin, Texas, when they were little kids, were taken to see Wernher von Braun. That was the type of guy my grandfather was. He would take them to UT lectures, talk about the space shuttle in the late 50s. All right, I'm going to shut up. Let's go back to Watson. Watson, other points on this issue. I mean, it's open world government, open banking takeover, nations completely collapsing into economic bondage, the euro on the verge of completely imploding. A trillion wasn't enough. Now they want trillions more. We're totally held hostage. The general public knows something's wrong, but they don't have one millionth how bad it is. Other key points on the situation. It looks like they're planning to try to launch war in the next 6 months on Iran. It's on the front burner now. That's the perfect political smokescreen for an economic implosion. Out of the global crisis will be born the open, public, carbon tax, one-child policy tyranny. And we pray the globalists only decide to one-child policy us and decide these super viruses aren't released on us. Watson, go ahead.
Well, every time they try to exploit a crisis to get global government, they seem to be failing. I mean, they tried it with global warming, that collapsing. They're trying it with the economic situation. That doesn't seem to be working out. What the EU is trying to do now is exploit a crisis within a crisis. They're saying they need to create a European Monetary Fund. And they're basically saying that to stop situations like Greece, the EU now directly has to control every aspect of financial policy of each member nation. So whereas before it was just a monetary union, of course the EU controls a lot of laws related to social issues in many European countries, including Britain. But now they're saying that they directly want to control the national economies of member states. So again, they're exploiting a crisis to centralize power into fewer hands. Revealing again that the EU, by its very nature, is inherently undemocratic and fascist.
Well, what did the foreign news editor of the Financial Times of London say a year and a half ago with this headline, "And now for world government"? He said it's been covert. We built it in secret. It's authoritarian for your own good. You're too stupid to understand it. What did the head of the Gaia movement say to the BBC, the head of the global environmental movement, even bigger than Gore? He said a month ago, the public's too stupid. We must have global government authoritarian system. What does John P. Holdren say, the White House science czar? This is it. And they say we're stupid scum. The future doesn't belong to us. And we are basically the enemy. And they are just totally taking over right now. And, you know, the public's listening right now, snickering and giggling about viruses that brain damage you and make you servile. They're already spiking your water with chemical weapons to brain damage you. You better wake up, folks, and realize your white supremacist garbage doesn't matter. Your black supremacist garbage doesn't matter. Your La Raza federally funded garbage doesn't matter. It's all complete crud. None of it matters. We're all under attack by the global scientific dictatorship. 110% red alert, red alert, red alert. I mean, it's just, it doesn't have to happen if people wake up to this now. But the globalists are arrogant because they're planning to accelerate their operations. We're already seeing this. And I just hope people know that you are in a science fiction nightmare situation, and you must break your conditioning and fully tune into the reality of what's going on. Watson, I need you. I'm going to give you a prime directive here on air. I've had you on the financial situation and other things, and you're doing an incredible job. Some days writing 5-6 articles. Same thing with your brother, Steve Watson. Same thing with Kurt Nemo, Aaron Dykes, all the great crew up here. But I tell you now, I have the aggregate some knowledge, but I've been so busy I haven't focused on this properly. I need you to do deep data searches. I believe it was the Baltimore Sun in 2001, right before 9/11, reported what we'd already seen in DARPA documents, that the federal government was developing mind control towers in every major city to put out different energy waves that they found can make you become nauseous, make you become calmative, anything they want. Of course, now they have the sound cannons, the microwave guns. Law enforcement magazines sell the sonic nausea machine, the super nausea. I'm giving the exact names right now for everybody. We need to put this together. And it talks about putting them in jail cells to make people sick openly. This is publicly sold in ShomerTech. It's covered in Road to Tyranny. And that's just an example of these torture devices. It talks about disrupting political rallies secretly with them. They have systems that can make whole crowds sick or just one person that you can aim at them. The Kokomo hum with a mind control test, ABC News. That's another key data point. If you search engine the term, then you've got to go to the actual research papers that we've read on air over the years, but a piece here, a piece there. You can, because I'm shifting gears into just total mind control for a moment, chemical and biological mind control, more than mind control, mind reengineering, mind brain damage, mind takeover. The way they push it is new vaccine to cure cocaine use. Cocaine addiction, new vaccine to cure alcohol addiction, new vaccine to cure nicotine addiction. And then those classes and families generally operate off of a live virus that is programmed to only like to eat certain neurons, and they can be tailored. And then this is what they admit. They've had this for 20 years, but this is what they admit they have. It's much more advanced. And then it goes in and literally eats the key ganglia connections, neuron jumbles in areas of the brain targeted, and that's what viruses do, naturally occurring, you know, only eat certain things, only attack certain tissues, only replicate in certain cell types with their RNA injector ports. And so then you can go to the actual papers where the doctors and scientists are saying this is dangerous, because when they destroy these neurons, those are natural neurons. You have these uptake points for endorphins, for all of these hundreds and hundreds of different combinations released by the pituitary, by the hypothalamus, by the thyroid, by the pancreas, by the liver, by the bone marrow. And that it all basically interacts to give you the species that is Homo sapiens sapien, Homo erectus sapiens sapien. And this, more and more I realize, this is the key. When I saw this devastatingly evil report, and of course we have Bill Gates laughing about, we've got to vaccinate everyone to cut the population, we've got to have zero carbon footprint, the best way to do it is cut humans, in that TED TV piece. And then they have another TED TV piece with the top globalist saying that we need the Chinese system where they're DNA testing everyone at birth to decide what they're going to be when they grow up. The Brave New World, as Aldous Huxley said, written in 1933, his brother, the future head of the UN UNESCO program, the head of the Eugenics Foundation, and the founder of the transhumanist movement, said this is our actual plan for you by 2000 in his 1962 Berkeley, California speech at Berkeley. Here it is. Gates Foundation researches nanoparticle vaccines triggered by sweat. This is from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Foundation funds 78 new innovative global health projects, including cell phone blood tests, carnivorous plants, and sweat-triggered vaccines. And in here, he's done the famous thing also on TED TV where he released the mosquitoes in the crowd and said, I'm going to put vaccines in them. And they talk about how, well, the public won't take vaccines now. We're going to have pharmacological engineered crops that deliver it to you. These reprogramming vaccines are one of the most dangerous issues we face. And it was actually a Hollywood movie. I didn't get a chance to see it. But it's the actor who's in Shawshank Redemption and also the producer. What's his name, guys? The guy that plays Andy in the Shawshank Redemption? Tim Robbins. We've got a Tim Robbins science fiction film about engineered viruses for mind control. Again, the reason I want to see that film is I can then promote it and have people get an idea. And it's locked down compact cities, brain damaged servile groups that were programmed by the vaccine releases. I already knew this was the plan before I read the synopsis on IMDb for whatever that movie was. And the movie was a complete failure and I think went straight to DVD. Watson, I'm sorry to be ranting. It's just that I'm beginning to realize they're so far ahead of us in this game. I at least want to put out an emergency transmission. They could launch this at any time, and it'll spread all over as a virus. And suddenly, you know, before you get the headache and become a brain-damaged zombie, you'll be able to see it happening to your neighbors and perhaps flee or something. So, I mean, this could happen at any time, Watson. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, the thing about Gates was, this TED conference is $6,000 just to be in attendance. So you know who his audience is when he's talking to them.
And that's why they laugh when he says we've got to get rid of half the people. They go, oh, yeah, ooh, ooh. They get off on the power trip. Ooh, we won't be given the shots. We're going to live. I'm sorry, go ahead.
They think they're part of it. And he said if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, and reproductive health services, meaning abortion, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%. So he's talking about vaccines, which are supposed to cure diseases, in principle, that would lower the global population by 10 to 15%. How can that work unless it's the vaccines doing it? And then he said that he wanted to find a vaccine that would be used to lower global CO2 emissions. Now, how can you do that? We emit CO2 when we exhale, so how else can that be possible?
And they all laugh because they're all little petty globalists who pay money to go hear this. And it's about we're the gang. We're here openly telling people we're going to wipe them out. And to hear the demonic snickering and giggling and Gates getting that demonic look in his eyes, his father, CIA, Pentagon Intelligence, former board member of Planned Parenthood. It's just they just love it. They just love the devastating power they've got. Ugh. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Even though the UN's own population report, which I've read and wrote articles about, say that global population gets to about 9 billion by 2050, and then it quite rapidly, you know, goes back down to 4 or 5 billion. And, that would be the case if all these third world countries were allowed to follow the same course as the Western countries have done. But once you add into the equation this zero carbon economy and this post-industrial revolution that they've openly announced, they're going to keep the third world as the third world, and that's why they're going to see population levels drive up, and then these vaccines are going to come in to solve the problem in their eyes.
But it's far past that. They admit that they're coming out and, quote, testing. It was probably in the flu shot. We know they've been caught spiking with cancer viruses, you name it, before. They're coming out with vaccines engineered into the sweet potato, into the rice. You can pull up the articles about, you know, company patents, rice that sterilizes men. And they're already testing all of this on us. And I just, it's such an evil to rob people of their consciousness, you know, with the fluoride, with the poison, but that's just intoxication. To actually go in and release viruses into the brain and be promoting it like, oh, you're going to feel much better now. You know, just you literally just go to sleep. It's like the body snatchers. And when you wake up, you're going to feel much better. I mean, this is just the total takeover. And then the public's laughing and they just want it. And it's all funny. And the depression's funny. And the open borders are funny. And the destruction is funny. And all that matters is basketball and acting cool. And so I just have children and I'm angry that the system is trying to pass laws now to forcibly inject them. And it's just hell on earth, Watson.
Well, how far away are we from an idiocracy-type situation? I don't think we're that far away from it. Whenever you go out and see a movie, it's just so base and banal and, you know, the lowest common denominator that we're basically on the brink of that situation now with a large portion of the population.
Yeah, they're under mind control from TV and chemicals, but... the war is about to get 1,000 times worse against us, and I just want everybody to know. Watson, great job over at PrisonPlanet.com. We'll come back and get into other global news and the latest developments on Machete. I'm Alex Jones, trying to raise the alarm. Worldwide emergency situation.
Rumors spreading round.
Danny Trejo, who plays Machete, has lived in Austin off and on, and I'm told is a really nice guy. He did serve time reportedly for armed robbery in prison as a boxing trainer, so he is a tough guy. And, you know, I don't like having to come out and criticize a film like Machete, but I saw the trailer saying A Message for Arizona, racially charged, very dangerous with the depression, Mexico imploding, all the calls for violence by illegal alien groups. And, you know, that's why I've been trying to point out that, hey, this looks dangerous. And then before I talked about it, because I didn't want to go off half-cocked, I got contacted by members of Robert Rodriguez's crew, or Hispanic, who were concerned about it. And they said, we're worried about a backlash against Hispanics. You know, bottom line, I'm probably at a certain level, people pointed out, I hadn't thought about that actually helping the film with the huge promotion it's now getting and the Washington Post and the Drudge Report and everywhere else. It's just that I have the script. And it is worse than what we even first thought. And as long as there's a debate about it and as long as they come out and say this is art. Because, see, when they made it A Message to Arizona and it shot at the Texas Capitol and about politicians and about, you know, white people wanting to kill Hispanics everywhere, as long as they come out and say this is just a movie, we don't think this is real, then it wouldn't be as bad. But they're basically saying this is real and this is a political message. I want unity. I don't like having to get up here and, you know, get into all this because we've got so many other things to deal with. You know, I'm the guy who constantly rants and raves about getting the Planned Parenthoods out of the Hispanic and black neighborhoods. That's where almost all of them are. And the founder of Planned Parenthood hated brown people and said that she wanted to get rid of them and called them garbage and weeds. Margaret Sanger. See, I actually don't like it that 51, almost 52% of blacks were never born since 1973. See, where are the black leaders criticizing that? And that tens of millions of Hispanics in Mexico and the U.S. are being aborted. And it's horrible. You know, I don't want you to die. I don't want you to be killed. I love everybody. But then, you know, all these, quote, liberals go, oh, don't talk about abortion. You know, you know, you're an evil gringo. You know, this is the idea. They're foundation funded. The eugenicists want to control you. So they come in and create racial division and pose as your friends, especially as the Democratic Party. And then the Republican Party puts out racial garbage as well that adds to all of this so they can manipulate everybody. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's mind control. I study this. I understand it. And I have seen sections of the 1993 script by Robert Rodriguez about Machete that has nothing to do with race and killing and division and white people trying to kill Hispanic children and murdering priests and desecrating churches. And so I think he was, you know, encouraged and was I ought to just call him. I probably don't want to talk to me now, though. This is a big national story. It needs to be a big national story. and it just disgusted me. I mean, here it is in the Washington Post. Fear of racial jihad from Robert Rodriguez. That's the Washington Post headline. Drudge has it as one of their top stories as well, with a link to our article, Hollywood Plans Race War Movie. Well, they don't plan it. They've already shot it and was done with taxpayer funds. And, you know, I just don't even know what to say anymore. I mean, if there was a movie coming out where Hispanics were the bad people running around murdering whites, I would be absolutely as vehement against it because of the backlash against white people and Hispanics. Either way you do this, if you have the white people as bad guys, it causes a backlash. If you have the Mexicans as the bad guys, it causes a backlash. Can't you see that? I mean, they keep demonizing the Tea Party, saying we're going to cause violence. We're not even calling for it. And then meanwhile, this comes out and they say, oh, it's just a movie. Well, it isn't just a movie. It's a message to Arizona. So they've got to depoliticize it right now, and then it will be just a movie.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
When you're out on the road, the last place you want to be is on the road. But if the unfortunate happens, you'll be glad you were wearing diamond gussets.
There's a place down in Tennessee where they make blue diamond gusset jeans. They sew pride in every stitch. Guarantee you love the way they fit. They put a diamond gusset in the crotch where you need it most. Blue diamond gussets got it. Others don't.
We turn jeans inside out. Diamond Gusset Jeans. Made in the USA with unparalleled quality. Our Defender motorcycle jeans combine gusset comfort with Kevlar protection, so you can ride all day with confidence. Order yours at gusset.com. Diamond Gusset Jeans got it. Others don't.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Coming up in the last hour, the member of We Are Change, the talk to Trilateral Commission member, who said that they're planning war with Iran. Headline, Trilateral Commission wants war with Iran. That's coming up. Last hour, Bob Chapman, couldn't be a more important time to interview him on what's happening with the global financial meltdown coming up in the next hour. Sometime in the next 10 minutes, we're scheduled to get a call from a prison facility. And I'm just going to leave it at that, and I don't know if this is going to happen today, but it's supposedly going to happen. And this is big medicine. This is big information. It actually gives me chills. I can't believe my life. I can't believe I'm in the middle of this. I can't believe. I just wish the public did the research I've done. I wish they understood what I understand. That's all I try to do is get the info out. Once you've done the research, it's all crystal clear. And so that's coming up. And we're going to open the phones up after these guests leave us as well today on this live Friday edition. We also need your financial support, and you do that by buying the books and videos and materials at InfoWars.com. Plus, it all gets the info out to everybody. Don't Tread on Me is now shipping today. It officially comes out Monday, so many of you will be getting it today, tomorrow, and on Monday. You can order Don't Tread on Me by Gary Franchi, William Lewis, Rise of the Republic, featuring R.J. Harris, Michael Bagnarek, Tom DeWeese, Alex Jones, Edwin Vieira, Richard Mack, Cynthia Davis, Charles Key, and many, many others. It's about 10th Amendment, democracy versus republic. From the Tea Party movement to state legislators, the American people are drawing the line in the sand. On what side of it will you stand? Has the government our forefathers created been forgotten? And by Washington, D.C., is a patriot uprising ready to capture the spirit of 1776? Don't Tread on Me gives the viewer a look into the movement's mindset and legislation that will catapult the Great Restoration into households across America. What is the choke collar the federal government uses to rein in the states? Are the states sovereign or subjects of Washington, D.C.? What did the founders foresee and how did they seek to protect us from tyrannical government? Don't Tread on Me exposes the Commerce Clause, defines sovereignty, the proper role of government, the constitutional militia, and much more. Don't Tread on Me offers sound solutions to take back rights stolen by our out-of-control despotic federal government. Don't Tread on Me will educate, inspire, and activate a nation desperately seeking direction. What side of the line of the sand will you be on? Instead of all fighting with each other over race and religion, we need to decide we're Americans for the Bill of Rights, for the Constitution, for liberty, and we need to stand up now. But we also need to speak out in a strong way to cut through all the chatter and disinformation. We need to be authoritative, definitive, and strong. You need to feel that human spirit of liberty boiling in your heart and your guts and in your brain. As Thomas Jefferson said, we must set bushfires in the minds of men and women everywhere so that liberty spread like a great fire, illuminating minds, waking people up. And again, when I use the term illuminating, I don't mean the Illuminati's dark light. They take everything and create a counterfeit of it. I mean the true illuminating light of freedom and of God's love against the black sunshine of the New World Order. Oh, they're illuminated, but by the dark light of deception and evil and greed and bondage and control of civilization and society. We must pull back the electronic Berlin Wall curtain and let the sunshine in. And every time you speak up, every time you make a copy of a film, every time you educate somebody, every time you get a copy of Invisible Empire, Police State 4, Don't Tread on Me, and give it to everyone you know or have viewing parties, you poke holes in that curtain and more sunshine is coming through. And that's what we're seeking to do. So get Don't Tread on Me, Invisible Empire, and other powerful films at Infowars.com. Or you can call toll-free, 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. Or you can see all my films, super high quality, at prisonplanet.tv, like Invisible Empire and Police State 4, The Rise of FEMA. We'll be right back.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We're live 8 minutes into the second hour. We just started simulcasting at prisonplanet.tv for radio listeners that want to go over to prisonplanet.tv and watch another dimension of this transmission, this multimedia cast. We are here waiting for a call with a special guest, and we're going to see if we're able to get this done. If not, I'm not going to be able to tell you who the guest was, so we can try again. In fact, they're on the phone right now. Sometimes, you know, we just engage in our journalism openly on the air. And, all right, we're going live right now. We've got them. Okay. I'm go. Now, ladies and gentlemen, okay, I'm go. All right, I'm going to ask him to give us the data dump immediately. I'm going to tell you who they are because the powers that be do not want this information out. It deals with the Trinidad case, Oklahoma City, a cover-up that won't stay covered.
Yes, sir, this is David Hammer, and I'm coming to you live from a federal death row in Shepherd, Indiana.
Okay, quickly, tell folks, in case they cut you off, exactly what Tim McVeigh told you.
Wow, where to start? I was here with Tim McVeigh from July 1999 until his execution in June of 2001. I had numerous conversations with him over that prolonged period of time. We made an agreement for him to provide information to me that could be verified in order for me to write a book. He knew of my intentions to write a book about him and the Oklahoma City bombing. Along the way, he would provide me information, and I would provide it to people on the outside to try and verify as much as they could. The result of that is my most recent book called Deadly Secrets. McVeigh told me and another inmate here that he was actually an agent working for a guy he called the Major. And he allegedly met this man when he reported to for special trainings duty. And he was told to wash out his special training and asked to accept what was called black ops operations. And he would be working as an independent person as a part of, and that he would recruit people to be in his unit. According to McVeigh, this association went on for several years, from the end of 1992, and throughout the days of the bombing of the Murrow Building on April 19, 1995. This person he identified as the Major also provided financing for the Oklahoma City bombing, at least $60,000 over a two-year period of time. During the weeks leading up to the bombing, McVeigh was in daily contact with this individual, and the person that the Major had selected to work with McVeigh to actually build the bomb. And according to McVeigh, they built the bomb that blew up the Murrow Building at a warehouse in Oklahoma City on the 18th of April of 1995.
Now to be clear, Terry Nichols has signed a sworn affidavit also, and that McVeigh told him he was black ops. McVeigh was also videotaped. This has been covered by national news a year after he was supposedly at the military at a demolitions base. And, of course, also Jesse Trenadue and others have sued and gotten the secret documents. This has been in major newspapers that the FBI anti-terror team was there the week before. They lied about that and said they weren't. Of course, we've had Jane Graham and other witnesses who were inside who saw McVeigh in the building and other maintenance men planting gray sticks of butter. The grand jury was given this info, but Hoppy Heidelberg was told to shut up, the foreman of the grand jury. So what you're saying dovetails with what McVeigh has told others. Specifically, what else did McVeigh tell you, sir?
Well, he also told me about the bombing that the major had told him that another team was placing C4 explosives inside the Murrow Building, and that there was actually two bombs went off, the bomb that he built as well as the C4 explosives inside the building. And something you touched on about the military, you know, through these classified documents that Mr. Trenadue and other people have been able to gather, McVeigh's Army records show that he has a secret military clearance through 1996 that didn't expire to 1996, even though he allegedly was out of the service by 1992, including his stint with the Army National Guard in New York. McVeigh told us that as part of his preparation and training for the Murrow Building bombing, that he actually did visit some military bases that these meetings were arranged by the Major, and that he at one point considered stealing explosives from military bases to build his bomb rather than to use a fertilizer bomb.
Now, McVeigh had told other people things like this, but then we're given these supposed media tapes, audio tapes, with him telling a different story, but it's also even come out in Newsweek that he said one day it will come out that the government did this. Specifically, how were they controlling McVeigh? Did you ever see Jolly and West in there with him? Why do we get different versions, or is that the media cutting and pasting?
The lone wolf mastermind. I mean, that's the story that McVeigh wanted portrayed to the public, at least till after his death. And I mean, recently I listened to the national broadcast of the tapes, which was really nothing more than a verbal report on the book that Lou Michel and and the other fellow wrote, Herbeck wrote about McVeigh. Man, it really made me want to puke as I was listening to and watching this program, because it was nothing more than the official version of what allegedly happened in Oklahoma City. And having heard from Tim's own mouth time after time after time other things that contradicted that official story, and having been able to verify these things, it really amazes me that the public continues, or at least some of the public continues, to buy this official version of the Oklahoma City bombing. I mean, it defies logic if you look at McVeigh and all of his travels and the things that he did, the odd jobs that he held along the way. There's no way he could have even supported himself, let alone put together money for a bomb of the type that they built. Actually, for what it's worth, I was at the ADX, that's the federal supermax prison in Florence, Colorado, where Terry Nichols is currently housed. I was there with McVeigh before they activated the federal death row unit. And so the tapes, the first two days of taping that he did with Lou Michel, I was in a cubicle right next to him that's plexiglass. I could see Tim. He was walking around and gesturing wildly, and which is how Tim was when he was telling a story or talking about something that excited him. And you could overhear bits and pieces of the conversation. I was there with my attorney, so we weren't really trying to listen to his conversation, but sometimes you couldn't help but hear it. And the fact that my attorney had never been around McVeigh or seen him, he was, he was kind of paying attention. And then they finished up the second 2 days of that interview in January of 1999, after we had arrived here in Terre Haute. And Tim would come back from talking with the reporters, and we would have question and answer services through the door. And we were in cells, just a couple of cells apart. And here you communicate through the door or out the back window. That was at the old prison where we were. We're actually in a new facility now, but where Tim and I were, it was easy for us to communicate, so we didn't have to necessarily be outside
sure.
of recreation.
Real fast, David Paul Hammer, yeah. We're going to skip this break in case you get cut off. Just to have it on record, they have been keeping you from talking to the media.
I'm not allowed to talk to the media, and I fought it for 11 years in court. The last news media interview that was allowed here was Timothy McVeigh's interview on 60 Minutes. After that, they stopped all media interviews live, face-to-face or otherwise. There's a very limited situation where you can get a monitored telephone interview.
Incredible. And this interview, I mean, why are you speaking out now here on this show? I mean, in case they kick you off,
it's very simple, Alex. I want the truth to come out. I want people to investigate. The facts are there. I've laid out the facts in my latest book, Deadly Secrets. And I'm not just promoting the book or trying to plug the book. Obviously, I want to do that, but it's more than that. There's a roadmap to an investigation, and if anyone that has the power to do it will just initiate an investigation, a grand jury investigation is what is needed. I mean, there's been other FBI people who said that. It seems to me, and I've said this before, but Alex, someone has to care what happened in Oklahoma City. I mean, I understand that 9/11 happened, and it was a far more people lost their lives, and it was more damage. But Oklahoma happened before that.
I hear you, David. David, they could cut you off any time. Other things that McVeigh told you, did he ever talk about, how he was black ops, which other people signed affidavits on, like Terry Nichols? Did he ever talk about that and why he was, did he ever try to get this information out? Were they threatening his family? I mean, was he angry about being set up as a patsy? Why did the government bomb it?
He obviously, anytime you would mention it or ask him or bring up the possibility that he was set up as a patsy, he said absolutely not, that things happened by design. No, he never said that he was being threatened. He made it appear in all of his conversations with us that he truly believed he was working for the government, that he was still part of the military. And he never, Tim didn't care much for anyone other than himself. he didn't have any love for his family. His sister would be the exception. His father, his mother, he
okay, let me throw this out then, and people can pull this up. A TV reporter and a newspaper reporter at his execution who witnessed it said when they took him out, he was still breathing. Do you believe, so you're saying he still thought he was working for the government. He may have a face job and be living in Maui.
Absolutely. Well, I don't know about Maui, but I mean, this is one of the scenarios, and I talked about it again in the book. Is he told us many times he would vacillate on this issue from time to time, but his main theme was that he was not going to be executed. That the major was going to have someone infiltrate the execution team, and that he would be given drugs that would feign the appearance of death. But and he says the CIA and other people use these drugs, and that they would be taken out, and he would be brought, you know, given some type of medication that would counteract the other, and that he would be rewarded for serving his country. And you know, it sounds a little bit far fetched, but I mean, I've talked to several people who witnessed the execution, including Janie Coverdale. And she doesn't know one way or another whether Tim was executed. He was covered up from toe to neck, and he couldn't see any type of IV lines or anything running into his veins. And so she clearly says that she doesn't know if he was executed or not. And she watched it. So, you know, I don't know if Tim McVeigh is dead.
So McVeigh told you, well, we can pull up the articles where reporters said he was still breathing when they wheeled him out. I mean, I remember that on TV, but it wasn't national news. It was in Indiana. TV reporters, a newspaper reporter, I remember seeing one of the reporters on the news, a black guy. We've got to pull that up. In fact, Google that. You know, reporters said it appeared McVeigh was still alive after execution. Sir, this is...
Alex, part of my bargain with McVeigh to get him to provide me information so I could write the book was that I'm a jailhouse lawyer, and I do quite a bit of litigation for inmates. And one of the things that he didn't want was an autopsy. And he had the reasons he didn't want an autopsy is because he said he was going to be feigned the appearance of death. And I fought that issue in my own case, in my death penalty case, with the assistance of my attorneys. And we won the fact that you didn't have to. We won that. And McVeigh used that as a precedent on himself so he wouldn't have to have an autopsy. I mean, these are all things, a lot of it's circumstantial, but it adds up to what he thought was going
to
happen.
But to be clear, David Paul Hammer, it's on record that you're in Terre Haute Federal Execution Center right now. And
on federal death row.
Federal death row, and that McVeigh told you that they were planning to stage his execution, that he was going to be rewarded. Please repeat that on record. And then secondarily, did he ever talk about why the government bombed Oklahoma City?
Yes, he did talk about that. First, I'll do what you ask about. McVeigh did not believe that he was going to be executed. He believed that he was going to go through the motions, and that he was going to be given drugs that would feign the appearance of death, and then be counteracted once he was out of the institution and in the custody of his attorney. He was actually released to his remains was released to the custody of one of his attorneys.
Secondarily, quickly, this is key. Why did the government want? I mean, why did he believe that was patriotic to bomb OKC?
Well, what he came to believe throughout the course of his mission was that this is a way for the government to gain control over the right-wing militia patriot movement, that because of Ruby Ridge and because of Waco, that the patriot movement was becoming stronger and stronger, and that if there was a bombing that was attributed to people with those leanings or those associations, that the government could pass laws easier, and that those type of people would fall out of favor with the American public.
Okay, sir. Data dump. Because I've got to take this network break in a few minutes, and if you're still there, and I appreciate you coming on this show, again, this just dropped on our lap literally yesterday. Data dump in the next 4 minutes. Other key points that you want out there on the record.
Well, the fact that Tim McVeigh, there's two things. The one big thing is that the government had prior warning, many, many prior warnings that something was going to happen, and specifically that the Murrow Building was going to be bombed, and that McVeigh was involved. Also, feel that Andreas Strassmeyer, Dennis Mahan, Roger Moore, and the so-called Aryan Republic Army members, which was Peter Langdon, Scott Stediford, Michael Bresna, Kevin McCarthy, and Richard Guthrie, were involved in the planning and security detail for McVeigh as part of the bombing. They were in, they were on site in Oklahoma City. Other things I want to be known is that the bomb that actually blew up the building was, according to Tim, was not made or put together in Kansas and driven to Oklahoma City. It was actually put together in a warehouse. He had told us the warehouse was just off of West Reno. And during our investigation and things that we were able to verify, we found out that the that Tim, when arrested in his car, he had a piece of paper with the address and telephone number for a storage facility there in Oklahoma City, in about a half a mile from West Reno. So
was he supposed to be picked up driving a big yellow car with no license plate?
Well, he told us that actually Mike Bresna and Richard Guthrie were supposed to pick him up in an SUV, and that they didn't, and so that the Mercury was nothing but a secondary getaway car.
He was set up. He probably wasn't. They probably killed him. I'm sure they told him they were going to stage his death. He was sheep dipped out of the Army into black ops, and that's what Terry Nichols has sworn, and then that's what all the evidence is. I've talked to the grand jurors, everybody. They all know this. And what about Iraqis? We know they had Iraqis that were brought in by the U.S. government who'd been trained by the CIA in the 80s when Saddam was our ally. What about Iraqis swirling around? Did he ever talk about that?
Well, you know, he said that the people who believe that it was a red herring, I've tried to investigate and find out what I could about a foreign connection, and I don't have anything to say on that really, because he Tim just kind of laughed it off when someone would bring that up. One thing I do want to mention in Terry Nichols' sworn declaration, he identifies Larry Potts as the person that McVeigh said he was working for as his handler. And
Larry Potts said that he was in Dallas and flew up there that day, but it turns out it's now been declassified that he was there before the bombing.
Yes, I've seen those documents. I quizzed McVeigh over and over and over. We could never get him to give us the identity of the major. I should say here for your audience, when I use the words we, I'm talking about myself and a fellow death row inmate here who was in on a lot of the conversations that I had with McVeigh, and so that's why I use the term we.
Well, this is all incredibly dangerous, and
I did want to say one thing for your audience. If you know what happened to Kenneth Michael Trinity, he was killed while in BOP custody in Oklahoma City at the Federal Transfer Center. And when news got out, in order to write my book, I had to give it to the officials here to copy, and then I would send out pages, the chapters at a time. Back to said on September, I believe it was the 20th.
We've got a break. Stay there. We've got a break. Back in 3 minutes, okay. Sir. Please stay with us. From Death Row, folks. We'll be back. David Paul Hammer was already in prison and was convicted of killing his cellmate. It's on record that he was, for many years, in both prisons that McVeigh stayed in for many, many years. And he's written this book, and I've talked to lawyers involved. He was told, we'll stay your execution, we won't execute you if you don't write this book. Can you tell that story and why? You're basically forfeiting, it looks like, your life to get your book out, sir.
I'm doing it because I want the truth to come out about two things: the Oklahoma City bombing, and what started me on this journey was Kenneth Trinity being killed at the Federal Transfer Center, and my having contacted his brother, and it just led from there. But in September of this year, after I'd sent out bits and pieces of my manuscript for my latest book, and the feds had copies of it through prison officials. Two people claiming to be FBI agents showed up, and I was taken out to a conference room where they showed me badges and credentials, and told me that they went a little preliminary conversation and told me, look, we know about the book you're writing and the contents of the book, and we have the authority to tell you that if you will not write this book and not publish this book at this time, that you will not face a resentencing for the death penalty. And that if you don't, if you don't accept our offer and you continue to write this book, we will use the full might of the United States government against you to ensure that you are executed. And
have you seen the emails from the current attorney general at the time, the deputy attorney general, which have even been on the Drudge Report, where he's saying this is like D-Day, we've got to get down there and cover this up, this could destroy us. I mean, I guess we could, guys, pull up the Eric Holder emails on Oklahoma City. I want to show those to people. It's all over the web. Were you aware of that?
I've never seen those, but I have seen the emails in the Trinity case from Eric Holder when he was deputy attorney general, where they did the what they called the Trinity rollout plan to postpone the release of the OIG's report.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yes, I've seen those. I've seen all of those email exchanges, and ultimately, it's up to Eric Holder to decide whether or not I will be tried again. I guess I should explain that in 2005, a federal district court overturned my death sentence and ordered that I be resentenced within 60 days. That the government seek to a resentencing hearing that would be held before a jury, and they would once again decide whether or not I received death or life without parole. The government subsequently appealed that, and ultimately the Third Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals told the government that they didn't have jurisdiction until after resentencing. And that we're at that point now. The government has decided that they're going to allow us to present evidence to the Justice Department, and then Eric Holder will be make a decision. The prior decision was made by Janet Reno in my case, and a decision has to be made by Eric Holder. So obviously my attorneys were very upset that I decided to go forward with this, because in my book I'm not very friendly to Eric Holder, because I print the facts about Eric Holder's involvement in the Trinity case.
How can people read the book?
It's available. The name of the book is Deadly Secrets, and it's available at AuthorHouse.com. We also have a website, Deadly-Secrets.com. You can get information for ordering the book there.
But you've been unable, with audio, to put this out in your own voice. So correct me if I'm wrong. This is the first time that you've been able to speak about this on air.
This is the first time live. I did one recorded conversation or interview a couple of weeks ago, but this is the first time that I've been able to do it live and with a national audience.
Is that recorded tape been released?
Yes, it's on the Internet. It was with Scott Shannon. And if you go to my website, www.deadly-secrets.com, there's a link there to an hour and 27-minute interview that I did.
Good, good. I'm glad that others have gotten it out. Good job to those folks. Wow. This is so amazing. It turns out people have been trying to get a hold of me involvement with this case the last month, and they haven't been able to get through to me. I've just got to figure out some way with all the data we're getting to go through it all. In the time we've got left, again, other points you want to make about McVeigh, how you learned about the Oklahoma City case through the Trinity case, and that's the case that's got all these federal documents out. They thought he was somebody involved. They were trying to get rid of the witness. They tortured him to death. That's on record. Just so incredible. Please continue.
Well, I guess I should say a couple of things. I'm from Oklahoma. I was born and raised there. And I never thought I would be on death row with Timothy McVeigh. But, sometimes, things happen and strange twists and fate. I would say that I guess I want to get back. I mentioned earlier about the government's prior warning. I mean, it's out there in the public domain about Carol Howell having told her handlers with the ATF about Strassmeyer and Dennis Mahan casing the buildings.
And I want to back you up. She was an ATF infiltrator, left hand, not knowing what the right hand. She worked for them on record, and they, what, indicted her because she wouldn't shut up, and then she defeated that.
Right. She was acquitted. She was ultimately acquitted. But during her trial, the facts came out that, yes, she had told her handler all about, the planning for a bombing from, pretty much launched from Elohim City. If you look at Strassmeyer, if you look at Andreas Strassmeyer, he was here illegally, and ICE had a warrant out for his arrest. The ATF had a be on the lookout out for him, and they actually planned a raid on Elohim City for February of 1995, 2 months before the bombing. And for some unknown reason, Bob Ricks, who was in charge of the FBI in Oklahoma City, directed the ATF and the FBI in Tulsa not to have that raid.
So there were good government people trying to stop this, and it also came out in federal documents, two separate groups. They blacked it out in one, blacked out in another, but you could put the two over and basically get the full memo, and that's also been in mainstream news, mainly the papers out of Utah, where Mr. Trinidad has been working on the case, his brother killed. And in there, it talks about Southern Poverty Law Center with infiltrators in there as well. Do you have any Southern Poverty Law Center info?
Well, Tim didn't know or seemed not to know that that people from the Southern Poverty Law Center were actually in Elohim City. You know, these he did mention a lot of informants at Elohim City. It was known as ABC Alphabet City. Amongst some of the Patriot crowd, and McVeigh referred to Elohim City that way several times. There are other documents about the government having prior warning, or McVeigh mentioning the fact that he was working for the government. His initial attorney in this case was in Oklahoma City, who later withdrew because of a conflict of interest. In the McVeigh defense documents, which are now in the University of Texas in Austin in their archives, and that's where I've been able to get tons of the McVeigh defense documents. His first attorney, he told his first attorney that he was actually working for the government. And there's a report all about McVeigh, and when he found out that the attorney had divulged this information to an investigator and to his current legal team, he went ballistic. So I think that's a big point that people need to realize, is that Oklahoma City was two things. The government had prior knowledge that something was going to happen, and McVeigh did not act alone, and he didn't act just with the assistance of the Fortiers and Terry Nichols.
Well, that's on record that there was a fax sent out to federal offices and federal FBI buildings, and that they thought they were going to bomb the FBI building that day, not the Alfred P. Murrow building. That day, of course, they had offices in both, and so it's on record that there were good feds out there trying to warn people ahead of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, a perfect example of that is the fact that U.S. District Judge Wayne Alley stated that he was told not to come to work that day. I mean, that, as you said, that's been in the mainstream media, and just if you look at who was there and who wasn't there when the bombing happened, that also adds credence to the fact that of the facts that McVeigh said about the government being involved.
Well, David Paul Hammer on death row in Terre Haute, Indiana. I want to be clear. I've studied this since 1995, when it happened. Everything you've said is been backed up by other statements, other affidavits, government documents. So I want to just say, for listeners tuning in, saying, why should we believe a convicted murderer who killed a cellmate, and that's why he's on death row, because everything he's saying is backed up with other people's statements. And it's just it's scary to have to even be involved in this and cover this, but we don't have a country, we don't have a future if we bow down to this. And I think it's very important that you not be executed. I think it's very important that they unfreeze the fact that they'll never let you get to the media. I mean, how many years has it been since you've been able to ever talk to media live?
The last time I was able to talk to media was in December 1999. That was before McVeigh's 60-minute interview, and they stopped all others. And that was a TV interview, a local TV interview that I gave then. And all requests for national interviews, even before that and afterwards, have been denied. You know, my fight, I fought it all the way to the Supreme Court and had numerous news organizations. I had 22 news organizations file an amicus brief with the United States Supreme Court asking the court to hear this case because they thought the ban on the media, and I'm talking about all the mainstream media from the LA Times to the Washington Post, New York Times. They all joined the amicus brief, the professional journalism, I can't remember all the names of the societies that joined in, but it was impressive. But
well, here we are, and the world's hearing it right now. Other things McVeigh told you, run back through it. Any other points you haven't made?
Well, a couple of things, and I found support in this is the fact that he rented a truck in St. Paul, Minnesota, and one of the trucks that was used to build a bomb, not the bomb that actually exploded, but another bomb, that one that Terry Nichols helped him construct, the truck was actually rented in St. Paul, Minnesota. I found in the documents, when he told me this, I was somewhat skeptical. I was never able to track it down. But bound to behold, when I got a hold of the defense documents, there was an FBI 302, and it says that there was a grand jury going on at the same time the grand jury was convened in Oklahoma City. A second grand jury was convened in St. Paul, Minnesota. And that they were investigating and trying to get records from a Ryder truck rental agency there. And so I truly believe there was at least three trucks used as part of the bombing plot in Oklahoma City that I've been able to verify.
Again, if you just joined us, David Paul Hammer has been able to get through to us. And there's no gag order, nothing even legal involved from the lawyers I've talked to. This is just the government won't let anybody talk to death row inmates, and I think that violates their First Amendment. I think it empowers tyranny. If I ever get framed for something or put in prison, I want to be able to talk to the media. They built a new supermax. The news has reported that they're going to keep, quote, American terrorists in when they're suspects, and they're not allowed to talk to their family, friends, or even lawyers. They've got legislation where citizens can be secretly arrested, stripped of all rights, the Violent Belligerence Act, but it says in there for any intelligence purpose, you disappear. And then only an act of Congress can even tell folks where you are. You can be given enhanced interrogation. You know, that's been in the news. The headline, Senate wants citizens to be arrested if they're on suspicion of terrorism and be stripped of citizenship. Sir, you're not planning to commit suicide in jail, are you?
No, I'm not. I have absolutely no intent or desire to kill myself. As a matter of fact, I want to live as long as I can. I want to say this, that I'm speaking out publicly because I want them to be a record of what I have to say. And one of the questions that I would pose to your audience and to you and just to anyone, what in the world does the government think I can say that's going to harm them? The only thing it can be is that they're going to be – I mean, what's going to happen if it comes out that, yes, in fact, they covered up what happened in Oklahoma City, and there's no doubt they did. But I'm an inmate on death row, and as you said, credibility is an issue. People will believe me or they won't. You know, I don't have an axe to grind with the government.
Well, I believe you because he told other – we have to pull up the mainstream articles. I can't remember all the places, but the quote was, one day it's going to come out the government did this. Do you remember where he said that?
No, but I have read or heard that before. And McVeigh clearly knew that I was going to write the information he was giving me. You know, I wrote an earlier book that was published in 2004, but without the benefit of the investigation and the documents and the stuff that we've been able to accumulate since then. And so, I wrote the book and told bits and pieces of what McVeigh told us, but the majority of the stuff I had to leave out because it hadn't been verified yet. And this latest book details it. And
give the websites out again for people that want to go see this testament.
It's www.deadly-secrets.com. Or if you just Google Deadly Secrets or David Paul Hammer, it'll come up that way, too.
Well, I hope you've got a lot of bandwidth because you're going to get hit with probably 500,000 hits.
Well, I really hope that people go and look at it. And not only that, Alex, someone has to care. Someone has to still care what happened in Oklahoma City.
Oh, listen, Mr. Hammer, I'm risking my life right now even doing this interview with you. I've got a family. I understand. Somebody's got to stand up. Somebody's got to say no. I'm not a death row inmate. I've seen all the documents you've seen. It's on record that they blew that building, and none of us are safe. And look how they're looting us with the banks. Look at how they want to arrest citizens now with no charges. I mean, we're in trouble. And so we need men to be men, not mice, and stand up to these people. And I'll never commit suicide, and I don't use drugs, and I'm not involved in anything illegal.
Right. Well, I also want to tell you, I welcome this opportunity to be able to speak out, and I thank you for giving me the opportunity because, I have been wanting a way to not just make a written testament of what happened, but to get people to mobilize. I don't know if me saying anything is going to mobilize anyone, but I hope it'll at least motivate people to think about what's
going on. Well, resistance is victory. Resistance is victory. And you have in the and I believe you because everything you've already said is confirmed by others separately. I mean, when you talk about him saying they were going to stage his death, it was in the newspaper and on TV in Indiana that he was breathing when they took him out. I mean, you can pull that up. I mean, it's ridiculous. I don't know. Final segment with our guest. Hopefully, he'll still be there when we get back from break. By the grace of God, his call made it through to us, and this is just incredible. And God protect us, please. And David Paul Hammer on death row. He's been interviewed by the LA Times, you name it. It's on record that he talked to McVeigh a lot. And we were talking during the break about the ways they can persecute him. I was talking about all these clampdowns on prisons where people don't have any rights, which is really dangerous. And he said, oh, yeah, there's people in this prison that no one ever sees. And he talked about what they may do. They may come in his cell when they find out. They have to physically unplug the phone. This is a special phone system that he's on right now. Sir, go over that. And then let's talk about the fatigued leg. That came out in the news. A leg they can never identify with a body in 1995. Go ahead.
Well, I'll first talk about the people here who are on special administrative measures, which was enacted by an act of Congress where people sentenced or awaiting trial could be held in special confinement where they're isolated without any access to the phone, correspondence, or anyone else. They're just totally isolated. And we have three of those people here on death row in a different part of the building where we never see them and they never see us.
So it's a dungeon. You just disappear. And that's what this new national law will do to everybody. Go ahead.
They've had some of those people here for 3 years. And the thing I wanted to talk about, McVeigh told us that there was a man that he called Poindexter who actually helped him put together the bomb, who actually made the bomb in the warehouse in Oklahoma City. And that after the bomb was completed, when the major and one of his associates came to the warehouse where McVeigh and Poindexter still were to look over the bomb before the next morning. This happened the late evening of April 18th, 1995, that Poindexter had his throat slit and was killed and thrown into the back of the truck, and then the locks placed on the rider truck, and that when he was somewhat taken aback by what had just happened, and the major told him that, hey, that he wasn't one of us, meaning military, and therefore he couldn't be trusted. And he was put in the bomb. Once the bomb exploded and all the havoc and all the deaths and mayhem, medical examiner's office was finished identifying people, and there was an extra leg. and the extra leg was found. It was attired in military fatigues and a combat boot. And that leg has never been identified to this day. I believe that that's a big lead. McVeigh kind of laughed on a couple of times and said, look, all they have to do is run a DNA test. It's going to be in the military database or the CIA database of their agents or of military personnel. I don't know that that is, if that is the case. But
no, it is. Everybody 37 and younger is in a CIA Pentagon database. That's now mainstream news. Blood's taken at birth. Everybody 37, now 38 or younger is in the database, born in a hospital. Told people this 14 years ago, now declassified. And, of course, the FBI, CIA, Pentagon all have access to the troops' blood as well. They also use it to frame people, but go ahead.
Well, there was testimony at Terry Nichols' trial and at McVeigh's trial about this extra leg, and the medical examiner, Dr. Fred B. Jordan, he was the medical examiner at the time in Oklahoma City, he said that, yes, we have this extra leg and no one has come to claim it. There was further testimony from experts who involved in bombings in England who testified that in all the bombing cases there were always someone came, if there was an extra body part, someone always came to identify the victims of the explosives. And so this is a clue. The leg and other body parts were actually buried in a grave close to the state capitol building in Oklahoma City. But Dr. Jordan testified that he could not identify this individual's, whoever the owner of the leg was, through DNA.
Stay there. Got a break. 1 minute. 1 minute. Final 5 minutes from death row. Straight ahead.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We have liberty and freedom because our ancestors would stand up against corruption. That's why we have private property, Second Amendment. If we don't have courage and stand up against evil men and murderous, dangerous groups, then the sky's the limit. We cannot capitulate. And it's dangerous for me to be talking about this. It's dangerous for everybody involved. It's just horrible. Bob Chapman's coming up on the economy. We have no future unless we just stand up and tell the truth. And that's why I feel good about what I've done and everything that David Paul Hammer on death row with McVeigh for many, many years. On record, he was with him, did talk to him. That's, you know, even in the LA Times, other publications. And everything he said about the case is on record from other people. In the last 4 minutes we've got left, sir, you've got the floor, final comments, because you haven't been live on the media in 11 years. And they're planning to execute you very soon, and they told you they wouldn't execute you if you wouldn't write the book. So in the last 4 minutes, closing comments for the audience.
Well, I would ask your audience, not to discredit what I'm saying just because of where I am and my situation. This is far more important. This is not about me. It's not even about Timothy McVeigh anymore. It's about the government, and it's about those who are still out there, terrorists, who helped plan and carry out the Oklahoma City bombing. They have not been brought to justice. They're there, and not only have they not been brought to justice for the Oklahoma City bombing, but they haven't been brought to justice for killing Kenneth Trinidu, mistakenly thinking that he was part of the bombing plot. The government, lawyers have oftentimes claimed when they're presenting an inmate witness or an informant or someone to the jury in their cases, we don't pick our jury, we don't pick our witnesses. Well, you know, this just happened. I mean, I'm on death row, I'm speaking, I'm saying what McVeigh told me. I want to make something perfectly clear. I'm not vouching for the veracity of what McVeigh told me. What I am vouching for is the veracity of what we've been able to substantiate through thousands of pages of documents. I want to bring up a couple other quick points. Jesse Trinidu has filed numerous Freedom of Information suits, And recently, two things has really kind of stricken me, and that's the fact that the government doesn't want to turn over videos that's taken outside the Merrill Building on April 19th, and they don't want to turn over an unredacted copy of the Charlie Hanger video taken from the dashboard of his cruiser. And in response to the request for records from the CIA, their response was and is that it would be a danger to national security to turn over these documents. How in the world could it be a danger to national security unless some other country or someone from some other country, i.e., Andreas Strassmeyer, was involved in the Oklahoma City bombing? So these are questions that I hope your audience will think about, and not only think about, but be moved to some type of action, whether it's the right to elected official, whether it's the protest, whether it's to be on the Internet, whether it's to talk on the Alex Jones show. People need to mobilize and find out what happened in Oklahoma City on April 19th, 1995. The victims and the victims' families deserve that.
Paul, you got to believe it. Paul, we've only got 1 minute left. I mean, if you don't win these appeals or they don't reverse it, when are you going to be executed?
I'm still a long way from being executed because it's up to Eric Holder right now to make a decision of whether they're going to re-sentence me to death.
All right.
Or at least attempt to re-sentence me to death. And he has, he's under a court order to make that decision by April 30th.
Right.
So it would be sometime after that.
David Paul Hammer on death row at Terre Haute, Indiana. We're out of time. I appreciate you contacting us and coming on the show. We confirmed through other individuals this is Mr. Hammer on with us. And in the last 10 seconds, I believe your story because it fits with everything else we have. I believe you, and I have good discernment, excellent discernment. Give us your website one more time for folks that want to learn more.
www.deadly-secrets.com, and the book is available at authorhouse.com.
God bless you.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Telling the awful truth, no matter what the consequences, risking our lives, ladies and gentlemen, I need your prayers. And I was about to let David Paul Hammer go, who is in Terre Haute, Indiana, on death row. He was at the other Supermax before they even built it with McVeigh. He's been interviewed by the LA Times and others. It's a fact that he knew McVeigh. And Terry Nichols separately has filed affidavits saying the same thing, declarations with Jesse Trinidu, the lawyer whose brother was tortured to death and killed in the cover-up. They thought he was one of their operatives. It's been confirmed he wasn't. This is just so horrible. But you were saying something. I said, well, I'll try to get back in touch with you in the next few weeks. And you said, well, if I'm not dead, again, specifically, you're not planning to commit suicide. Restate what you said, sir.
No, Alex, I'm not planning to commit suicide. And if anything happens to me, what I told you was, I'd like to talk to you again in a few weeks, assuming that they don't kill me. I won't say that I'm paranoid about what they might do, but I am somewhat fearful. I know that it's the government, and they can pretty much do anything. So I know what they did with Kenneth Trinidu, and I've seen what they do to have done to other inmates. So there's a certain bit of fear about talking out, but I believe it's worth it. And, if something was to happen to me, then I would have given my life for a good cause, the truth. I think there's no better cause than the truth. And the truth about Oklahoma City just hasn't come out yet, at least not officially.
All right. Again, on death row for, you said you were arguing and fighting with your cellmate and strangled him. All I know is your case fits with everything else we've seen and all the documentation and what others said they were with McVeigh, and just a bombshell interview, and we're going to pray for you so this information gets out. David Paul Hammer, one more time, your website.
It's www.deadly-secrets.com. And Alex, I thank you, and I thank your listeners for tuning in and hearing what I have to say.
Well, if we don't stand together, we're going to hang separate. And You know, it's just amazing, and I wish it wasn't true. I wish there wasn't all these government documents that have come out thanks to Trinidad's lawsuits. And I mean, it came out that the FBI terrorism head was there and lied about it. It turned out it was just all an operation. And it's scary to have to get on air and confront these people, but they're going to keep doing it if we don't expose them. What about our children? What about our future? What about our society if we just capitulate to this Nazi, you know, style garbage?
Well, you know, Alex, we don't want, as a people, we don't want to believe that our government could do something like this. But time and time again, history has shown that our government has done things that are very disgraceful to us. So, I mean, I don't think it's such a stretch to believe that the government had some hand in Oklahoma City. To what extent, I'm not certain.
Well, a great article on this subject is the Trinidad case, a cover-up that won't stay covered, by Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. If people want to learn more about this case becoming a window into everything that's happened. David Paul Hammer, anything else?
No, I just want to say thank you again, and people, do something. Let your voice be heard on Oklahoma City.
Well, it's been used to demonize the Patriot Movement. They've ordered the Hatari militia released, but the feds have filed to keep them in prison. Turns out that's a complete setup, and it's just amazing. All right, well, hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you again. His first interview in 11 years. No law, no nothing, no gag order. They just, prison just won't let him talk to anybody, and now they're cracking down, and now they want to be able to arrest any citizen secretly, hand them over to the Pentagon, and you disappear into a black hole. You know, that's the news headline. Strip terrorist suspects of U.S. citizenship. This is for all of us. None of us are safe. David Paul Hammer, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Alex.
All right, go with God. Oh, man. You know, when we got contacted and confirmed through the sources and through the legal people, when I see this stuff, I don't even want to cover it because it's so sick, it's so painful, it's so bad. And I know why we're a nation in denial, because people just don't want to believe this. But it's millions of times worse than even Oklahoma City. I mean, it's a Pulitzer Prize winning book by one of the chief lawyers in Nuremberg on IG Farben and the U.S. government, and how they took the Nazi plans to put fluoride in the water to partially sterilize us, reduce fertility and brain damages. I mean, I, what is that? IG Farben, Crime and Punishment? I mean, you can't make this stuff up. You can't make it up. It's just, why? I mean, these black op operators that bombed the building, your kids are drinking fluoride water? Why? Well, they get in these macho cultures and they're told, you know, these militias are dangerous, follow your orders, and they find the psychological types of troops. I mean, it was declassified in 2004. It was leaked on WikiLeaks, and the government confirmed it was real. The current Army manual, at least by 2004, it actually came out in 2006, it was a 2004 manual for captains and above, who were in special ops, how to stage terror attacks. I mean, it's standard. And, you know, it's just, we got all these secret agents running around. They're a bunch of killers. And, of course, they carried out 9/11 as well. And they're getting ready to launch World War III with Iran. And why? 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 Why have we allowed pure evil to take over our government? I apologize to Bob Chapman having to hold for 14 minutes, but I know he understands with this death row call, the first in 11 years that's made it out. And by the grace of God, is the luck of the Irish, whatever, we always are able to get the job done. But it doesn't even shake me up. It overwhelms me. Bob Chapman, what did you think about the info you just heard?
Truly heartbreaking. And that's what I've been fighting for over 50 years. And it just gets worse and worse and worse, and they get more brazen and more arrogant, and we are going to beat them. But you people have got to help us. You've got to help this gentleman who's been incarcerated for 11 years. We got to get that story out to everybody and let the people know how deranged their government is in many, many aspects.
Deranged is the word. They enjoy it, too. It's like, Like, I enjoy going fishing and watching a thunderstorm blow in. I just enjoy a cheeseburger. I don't want to screw anybody over. I don't want to steal anything. And the general public, too, so many of them, the arrogance, the envy, the evil. I'm sorry, Bob. You were in military intelligence before you, became the biggest gold and silver private broker out there and then had the biggest newsletter out there and helped publish Gary Allen's book, None Dare Call It Conspiracy, 50 years fighting. I want to get into the economy, but again, it's surreal. They're openly saying the euro may collapse. Sarkozy's threatening to pull out. Trilateral Commission wants war with Iran. U.S. faces same problems as Greece, says Bank of England. We may collapse, London Telegraph. European power brokers openly announce world government, present proposal for new economic and political order run by the crooks. and it's like it's not even real. It's just all happening, Bob.
And nothing's a rear guard action. It's all attack. And they're not going to take any prisoners. And we're getting to them. Big. Believe me, I know we are. As I hear, you see it in the emails that you're getting in from people. They're coming in from all over the world. I mean, why would they have you and I over in Europe on radio and television?
And you're hunted. You have to travel all over the world. You're hunted. And I'm here, and then we've got their people crawling all over us, and it's only the prayers and the grace of God we're still here. Plus, if people know I'm clean, and if they do something to me or set me up, they know it's going to underline everything I've said and done, Bob.
And they will try to do that, and they will try over and over and over again, like they've done to me since 1967. How would you like to be audited 15 years in a row? And have no change, which is illegal, of course. And the hundreds of thousands of dollars I had to do and spend for attorneys and accountants to prove that I hadn't, I had paid the proper tax. And this was harassment. And in my business, the SEC, the NASD, the state regulators in my office every single day for years trying to get rid of me.
But now everything you wrote about 20, 30, 40 years ago is mainstream news, but they put a sickening spin on it and say the bankers that have robbed you and set you up, they're going to tax everything and the good times are over. They're just so they're trying to break our will.
Well, that isn't going to happen. They know that, and they know eventually they're going to have to shut us up one way or the other. And that's why 7 years ago or more, I stepped out of harm's way. If they want me, they're going to have to come find me.
Oh, Bob, I want to get into the economy when we come back. What happened with the 1,000-point plunge? What's going on right now in Europe? I turn on the news and it's all about basketball. Meanwhile, the globalists themselves say worldwide total implosion. And it doesn't have to be this way. I mean, it doesn't have to happen. And it's so bad, it's disillusioned Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. He's hit the escape pod button with a few final interviews here. But we're so close. I mean, the people are finally starting to listen, but it's so obvious to anybody that actually researches it. It's just ridiculous that we have to put up with this. Bob, stay there. I'm going to come back and shut up and have you just take the floor and talk about all these financial situations that are going on and where you see it headed and what's happening with gold and a lot more. I'm Alex Jones. The websites are InfoWars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. Folks, you better appreciate the information we're providing while it's still available. We're getting hit by the censors and operatives and other people at every level trying to shut down our material. It's getting serious. We'll be right back. Anderson Cooper interviewed me and never aired it. Nightline interviewed me and said it would air last week and then this week, and it hasn't. What they're doing is they're getting file footage of me. So when their bosses at the federal government stage something, they can roll out. I might be in the special this weekend coming up by Anderson Cooper. It's called White Al-Qaeda. I mean, they're really getting ready to use this whole system against us. Bob, before we get into the economy, the legislation, we've been talking about 2 months, now mainstream news, they're going, oh, it's good. You know, anybody we want can secretly be arrested by the Pentagon and no court is involved and you're stripped secretly of all your citizen rights. And in the prisons everywhere, they're taking everybody's rights. And it's just total oppression. It's just total evil is taking the country over.
Well, it's going to continue to be that way. I think we have to expect that. And they're not going to back off 1 inch, as I just said a little while ago. Because they know if they lose, they are not going to survive, whether it's in jail or otherwise. And they're going for everything this time. You know, this is not 1348 in the fall of the Phoenician banking empire known as the Lombard system. They exiled those people, which was stupid, but they did it. And they went to Wales, and they went to Amsterdam and Holland. And they're still with us today, the same families. Well, they're not going to get away with it today because of communications. We know almost all of them. And if this thing blows up and they lose and we win, they're going to lose their fortunes, their power. They'll end up in jail. Some of them will get hung for treason. And so you can understand the frontal assault, the takeover of society, the attitude toward the American citizen and others as well. I mean, look at Greece. People that are rioting. Why? It's not because of the debt. It's because consecutive governments in Greece lied about it when assisted by Goldman Sachs to hide the reality of what was going on financially with the country. And at the same time, the bonds were sold to bankers in other countries. And now the bankers want the public to pay the interest on the bonds that they bought. This is a banker bailout in Europe. It's a TARP for Europe. It's the same thing we went through in the United States. And it's being run by the Federal Reserve. And if they get a little short on money, if a trillion's not enough, the Fed's got a swap agreement again. Last time they had $583 billion. And what does that mean? It means they can take that money and give it to five other central banks who in turn give the Fed Reserve their currencies in an equal amount. What the Fed does, and they're not going to tell you this, is they go into the currency markets when they want to make the dollar go up, and they sell those other foreign countries' currencies into the market, and that buoys and makes the dollar go up. On the other hand, and they're not going to tell you this, all the other central banks with that money is in dollars. They go to the treasury auctions, and they buy the treasuries with that. It's a circle of complete monetization. It's a circle of inflation that will lead to hyperinflation, now not only in the United States, but in Europe as well. And so that's what that's all about, and that's why they're rioting in Greece, because they say, we didn't do this. The bankers did it. The people in office did it. Goldman Sachs did it. They never told us about this, so we're not responsible. And the same thing is going to happen in other European countries as we go along. And something that has not come out yet, no one else has talked about this. Germany, the German people, are very unhappy about being involved in a bailout of Greece. And last Saturday, they had an election. And the president's party in Germany, the chancellor it's called, the CDU, Christian Democratic Union, lost a seat in the Ruhr Valley, which is in western West Germany. And it's around the city of Köln, which in English is called Cologne. And it was a devastating defeat because the CDU lost control of the Bundestag, which is the House of Representatives. Now, what's going to happen? The Germans are going to get mad as unemployment goes up, and they're going to riot too.
All right, stay there, Bob. Let's come back and discuss what happened with the 1,000-point plunge. We're now 2 weeks out from that, or more than a week out from that, so you can comment on it. more intel on that. TV Group with Max Kaiser's view on it. Then we'll talk about how this unfolding crisis will roll itself out. You, of course, 3 years ago predicted the implosion of Europe would start in Greece. I'm Alex Jones. This is the GCN Radio Network. Bob Chapman is our guest. I'm going to open the phones up for your financial questions for Bob at 1-800-259-9231. We've got a member of We Are Change that infiltrated the Trilateral Commission meeting in Dublin, Ireland, joining us coming up. That ties in with the breaking article, Trilateral Commission Wants War with Iran. Make sure we have those videos of him confronting David Rockefeller ready from that meeting. Good. Both of them, outside and inside. We're going back to Bob Chapman here in a moment. I want to tell you about a few of the sponsors that have made today's radio show possible. One of them is Pure Water Freedom. I want to tell you about purewaterfreedom.com. That's one word, purewaterfreedom.com. If you want to affordably remove fluoride from your tap water, visit purewaterfreedom.com. They have a full line of household fluoride filters. You can even remove fluoride from every water source in your home with a whole house fluoride system. It goes through your children's skin, and they breathe it, folks. The chemical attack is very hard to defeat. They have a wide variety of filters to remove all types of toxins from your water, including shower and bath filters. All the filters are made in the USA. Made in the USA. Check out their banners on PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com, or go to PureWaterFreedom.com to take control of your water supply today. Also want to thank the great folks at FrontSight.com. This is Alex Jones again, and I want to tell you I believe in FrontSight.com and their incredible Second Amendment information and their world-class gun training. You can attend 5 days of world-class gun training at FrontSight Firearms Training Institute and secure a 30-state concealed weapons permit, all for pennies on the dollar. Plus, if you act fast, the Millionaire Patriot will give you a free Springfield Armory XT pistol in the caliber of your choice. I believe now is the time for you and your family need to be armed and trained to levels that exceed law enforcement and military standards. FrontSight provides such training without any boot camp or mentality or drill instructor attitudes. The Millionaire Patriot is paying his own money to help you get this. This is real. FrontSight, like the front of your rifle, FrontSight.com. That's FrontSight.com. And don't forget, we started shipping them today. Here it is in my hot little hands for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. Don't tread on me. Rise of the Republic. 10th Amendment, 9th Amendment, how we're going to take the states back, the difference between a democracy and a republic. R.J. Harris, Michael Bagnerick, Tom DeWeese, Alex Jones, Edwin Vieira, Richard Mack, Cynthia Davis, Charles Key, and many others. Read the description. Watch the trailers at InfoWars.com. Check out the online video bookstore. Don't forget the two new films we've released the last month. Invisible Empire, New Order Defined, essential information, powerful film, and, of course, Police State 4, The Rise of FEMA, all available at InfoWars.com. And don't forget Bob Chapman's powerful website, TheInternationalForecaster.com. One word, TheInternationalForecaster.com. Bob Chapman, okay, you've got the floor until we go to calls at the end of this segment, the next segment. I want to hold you 5 minutes over if you can. Go through it. Let's go back to 3-4 years ago. But interviewing you for 10 since you came out of retirement. But let's go back to 3 years ago. You can give the dates of the forecaster, 40-something pages, you know, twice a week. I mean, I remember you over and over again. They're going to implode the economy here with the derivatives, 2008, 2009 or 10. You were saying that in 2006, 7, 8. You said then Europe will start with Greece, then Portugal, then Spain, then Italy. I mean, you just like literal crystal ball. They've just declassified a Pentagon report from 2005. They knew this, actually up on Drudge Report today. But go over from the beginning and then where it's going next. Look into that ball again so we have a good idea from your mind what's going to unfold next.
Well, very quickly, the members of the Eurozone, there were 14 at that time, which included Greece and Italy eventually, and they had to prove their financial worth. And, public debt had to be less than 3% of GDP. If it wasn't, they would get fined. Of course, along through the last 10 years, they've all gone over that number, so it's meaningless. But the very point is that Greece and Italy should have never been allowed in. And I can remember Prodi from Italy, who was making speeches in Germany to the effect that, well, we'll build a pipeline to send milk to Germany so that they'll have plenty of milk if you'll allow Greece into the European Union. Well, we found out in the interim some of the things I just talked to you about earlier, and I think what they were up to, and I said this on the program sometime, maybe 4 or 5 months ago, is that Greece was to be the poster boy, so to speak, in the effort to bring down the entire world economy.
And they now admit that. I mean, the Greece thing was a smokescreen. That's actually a Reuters headline for the European bailout.
Well, it didn't start that way. It started, they wanted to use Greece to extend. Greece is broke, there's no question. And they wanted to extend the life of Greece for about a year, year and a half, 2 years, until they could get all their other chickens in line. There's 19 of them. And a number of them are outside the European Union, of course, as the United States and Japan and England and Venezuela and Peru, Venezuela, Bolivia, and Ecuador. I think Uruguay may go the same way. Argentina's broke again. Unfortunately, Chile's been subject to terrible earthquakes, which is beside that. But there comes to 19 right now. And it was my feeling that they wanted to bring them all together a year and a half down the line, 2 years down the line, and everybody would devalue and everybody would default, and it would all be arranged. They've done this before. But they never expected that Greece would say, hey, no, we've had enough. We're not going to do that. We didn't know what they were doing, and we really didn't. And the bankers who made these loans, these bonds that they purchased, should have never done so. And so we're not going to pay, and we're not going to be involved, and we're not going to be put under austerity. Now you're hearing the same thing from Portugal and Spain and Ireland.
So it's a rebellion against the banker looting.
Exactly. That's a perfect way to put it. Now, the same thing's going to happen in America, but they're not quite ready for it yet. But it will happen. And so you're going to have this disgruntlement, these demonstrations. You may even see civil war in some countries. And Greece is a good example of where that could happen. At the same time, we're talking about the Trilateral Commission calling for a third world war, because they want to diffuse and deflect the attention from their efforts to bring down the world economically and financially, but at the same time blame it on a war with Iran or whoever they're going to attack. And that's what they're up to. And their plans have been thrown up in the air. Greece has screwed the whole thing up for them. So now they're going to have to come up with all this money, and a trillion's not going to do it, I promise you, of which $65 billion is coming from the United States via the IMF. So you American citizens out there should be happy to know that you're helping to bail recalcitrant countries, in at least in Europe at this time. And, you know, what is really sad is Estonia is on the verge of collapse financially, and they're ready to join the Eurozone, which I don't think they should at this time. But there's 19 nations, and they're trying to keep them all afloat now because they underestimate what the Greeks did. And so they're gonna have to continue to pour money into that situation, and it's going to cause hyperinflation in Europe, and we're going to have hyperinflation in the United States. And eventually, it'll turn into total deflation. And that's the way we're headed. And as far as you mentioned what went on 2 weeks ago, my take is, and this is to do with the plunge in the market, my take's the same as Max Kaiser's. It was a government operation. It was a terrorist attack on the people who invest in the U.S. stock market. And the reasons why they showed their power, probably using Goldman and others, to knock the market down by sucking the liquidity out of the derivative market. And they wanted to tell Congress, look, this is what we can do. And if you don't stop a real audit of the Fed. And if you don't, if you try to break up the too big to fail banks, this is what we're going to do to you. And, of course, Congress does, and it was paid off, too, does exactly what they're told. And so we now have some rinky-dink one-audit situation on the Fed where they're really not going to look at anything important.
And Ron Paul has now put out a statement yesterday. In fact, guys, print that again. Ron Paul says Sanders sold out is the article. I know you printed it for me, but I can't find it here. I want to read his statement. He said Bernie Sanders completely sold out, and this is a whitewash. And so when Grayson runs around, you know, he's showing his true color, saying, we beat the Fed. That's a load of baloney.
Well, he thinks that in the Joint Committee that they're going to be able to add amendments. And it's possible, but not really probable. But we'll see. I wish him the best, Grayson. And is it phony baloney? We'll find out when we get there. What are our chances of winning? Very small. Where do we go from here? You'll see other terrorist attacks in the market. There's no question. This was a Goldman, Morgan, Deutsche Bank, Citigroup, HSBC attack. They knew exactly what was going on. I mean, on this program, I told you that I knew that all of that group were super long the dollar. Between 74 and 76 on the USDX, it's now trading at 86, and they're long, and their leverage is probably 100 to 1. They're making gazillions of dollars because they knew that that was going to happen in Europe because they planned it that way. And it's the same thing when the market dropped and everybody got wiped out of their stop-loss positions. They turned around and brought the market right back 700 points. Who did that? The same people who took it down in behalf of the United States government and the Federal Reserve so that Congress wouldn't even think of not doing what they were told.
So where is all this going? What's the next phase? Where do you see it breaking out next? How will they respond?
Well, I think the market's going down. And I think they're going to allow it to go down. Not precipitously, but like you throw a flat rock in the water, and as it goes down, it ladles back and forth until it hits the bottom. And that's the approach they're going to take and in the markets. They've got to take them down. They can't maintain them at the levels that they're at. And so where's the Dow going to go? It went from 11,200. It's 10,600. It was down 300 points today earlier when we started this program 45 minutes ago. And now it's off 199 points.
And they said, oh, we need $156 billion, we need $600 billion, we need $1 trillion by Monday. Then Tuesday they said $1 trillion's not enough. You know, the trillion, Europe loses its balance. I mean, this is unraveling quickly.
It is. It really is. And as I said, the thing that people aren't thinking about in Europe is Germany. Another thing they're not thinking about financially and economically is Russia. And I think you're going to see real trouble in Europe, not only on the people who are receiving funds, who are going to say, we don't want to get bailed out. And then the people who are being forced, the citizens of the other countries. And don't forget, it's not just Europe. The IMF represents, I don't know, 150 countries. They're all paying. You know, it's just like, you know, give them a can of gasoline and a match, and, you know, let's turn the world into a conflagration economically and financially. And that's what they're doing. It's to create chaos, and out of that, create a new world order.
Well, you're absolutely right, and now we hear Israel prime for war on Iran, Netanyahu deputy says. That's Reuters. Russia warns U.S. against unilateral Iran sanctions, which Ron Paul has said is an act of war. Just so much is going on separately. I want to get into the war situation in a minute and then go to calls because, again, a war, as we know, always comes in the middle of one of their takeovers because it makes everybody rally around the government even though they're raping them. This is from the Daily Paul and other publications. It says, video update from Dr. Paul. Sanders sold out on audit the Fed amendment. Here's a transcript of it. Bernie Sanders has sold out and has sided with Chris Dodd to gut the audit the Fed in the Senate. His compromise is what the administration and banking interests want. They'll allow the TARP and the TALF to be audited, but no transparency or monetary policy decisions, discount window operations, or agreement with foreign central banks. We need to take action to stop this. That's Ron Paul 2 days ago. I just wanted to go back over that. So just absolute disgusting behavior going on in the Congress. I mean, look, it's us or them. Either we get these banks out of our lives and under control, or they're going to take everything over. And we now see that, and they're laughing at us, saying the good times are over. Ha, ha, ha. It's totally sickening. Let's go to some calls for Bob Chapman. Jim in Oregon, you're on the air.
Great job, Alex. What one thing can the American people do to agitate, or what one policy should they agitate for to try and stop these bankers?
Bob?
Well, I think you can go to your congressman and let them know you know what they're doing in siding with the bankers and, you know, voting TARP in and things like that. But the best way is to kick them all out of Congress in the next election. And, you know, there's probably half the House seats that belong to people who are getting paid off by the banking and Wall Street cabal. They're up for grabs easy. But, you know, if you work hard at it and you let the people know, we could probably get new people. Doesn't matter who they are. Hopefully they're conservative, you know, whatever party they're in. We got to get them in there, because even if they want to buy them off, it's going to cost them a lot of money, and it's going to take them at least a year to be able to force them one way or the other to go back and do what the bad guys that were in there get kicked out for.
That's right. It takes time. And let me add a caveat to this. And Ron Paul said this, it's in my film Matrix of Evil, you know, back in 2003. They're going to implode the economy by design to bring in their world government, and the same banks that have engineered this will then pose as the saviors. We're in a race that during the crisis period, we educate enough people beforehand and during the crisis to understand that the banks engineered this, which is in the Goldman Sachs emails, so that we can come in with our real constitutional solution. So the average yuppie isn't laughing and sucking their thumb as much as usual and acting cool and arrogant. You know, they're now finally kind of listening. So you got to say, listen, I know you're slack-jawed and think you're cool and you think it's, you know, weak to care about America and be involved, but you better forget your basketball finals for a little while. You've been lied to. They are going to implode the economy further. We are in a depression. This is all a fraud. The New World Order's real. You better get up off your fat patoot. Now, they're still going to laugh at you publicly because they have a mental illness of weak people. They believe if they laugh at something, it gives them power over it. But once they're really hurting bad later, those seeds you planted in their brain are going to sprout. We'll be right back. The average American, fat, dumb, and happy, was taught that sitting on the bench, staying out of the fight is the way to go, that only caring about themselves was the way to go. Well, that brings enslavement and tyranny every time, and now we're here. If we can rouse people to defend themselves and at least get up off their hind ends, we can save this society. But this is life and death. Bob Chapman is our guest. Bob, going out to break, I made those comments, and I just made that comment. What's your take on it?
Well, everybody's got to do their part. I mean, this is the key to this whole thing. We're giving you this exposure and programs like this. We're giving you the tools. Alex has all these videos and DVDs. Buy them, copy of them, whatever. And I know many of you are handing them out. We need lots more people. We've got to wake up the American public before November so they'll understand that they got to get rid of these crooks and miscreants. And in the process, make them understand that the core of the power of the Illuminati in America and throughout the world is the Federal Reserve System and the Bank of England and other central banks. And if people can understand that, they'll know how they're getting robbed.
Well, look at who's calling all the shots. Look at who's behind everything. It's now out in the open, and they're saying world government run by them. There's no more time, folks. No more time. Oh, I heard it's kooky to talk about this. Read the newspaper. They're just doing this out in the open. Let's go to calls here. Let's talk to John in Canada, then James, Nikki, and others. You're on the air, John.
Yeah, hi, Alex. Yeah, great interview with David Pulhammer. I learned a lot from that. And Bob, I've read many of your articles. I have one question regarding something I've read is the MERS regards the mortgages in the United States. I'd just like to hear your opinion about that.
Well, the foreclosure ratio is going to continue to increase. We'll probably lose 7 million homeowners this year. It'll be just as bad the next 2 years, and it may go a little bit longer, and then we'll probably be on a bottom. Probably of the loans that are out there that haven't been foreclosed on, 60 to 70% are going under. Now, I know that's a high figure, but I've been right before lots and lots of times, and that's where this thing's going to end up. And I wrote an article 7 years ago, and I said the federal government has allowed Fannie and Freddie to be bankrupt, which they were, and you saw what happened since then. Thereafter, the complete control, eventually, of the housing market, so they can tell people where to live and how to live. And
yeah, they're taking everything over. You know, the smaller banks that aren't globalist, the car industries, the factories, manufacturing through the carbon taxes they're going ahead with.
The home builders.
They're now announcing that they're going to demolish at least a third of Detroit, 10,000 homes in the next month. I mean, this is incredible.
It certainly is. And remember, what this is corporatist fascism, the marriage of large transnational corporations, finance, banking, and government. It's the same thing that we saw, and you should go and read the real history of the late 1920s, 30s, and 40s in Germany and Italy, and you'll find out exactly what's going to happen here.
And it's not going to be pretty, and they're going to stage terror attacks to demonize the American people and claim that we're terrorists, so nobody can protest and demonstrate, so they can arrest whoever they want. It's all being publicly announced. It is unspeakably dark, so real that it doesn't even shake me to my core. It energizes me to just stand up against them, and we have no choice. They're not giving us quarter. For those that don't know what quarter is, you know, sometimes they would have a duel, and it would just with swords in Europe, you know, 500 years ago, and they would say, in this fight, are we going to give quarter? Meaning, if I get you on the ground and have slashed you up, do we give quarter? Vice versa. And no quarter. No quarter given. No quarter taken. And this is it. We'll be right back. Bob, stay there. Well, gold's holding at all-time record highs. We'll talk briefly with Bob in the next segment about where he sees gold going. Bob Chapman is our guest of the InternationalForecaster.com. I'm Alex Jones. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we're going to be joined by Alan Keenan of We Are Change Ireland, who got into the Trilateral Commission meeting. This is incredible information. And they also, We Are Change and others, shot video. Neil Foster from the Sovereign Independent newspaper was one of those who confronted Rockefeller at his table, and We Are Change were the ones who caught him the night before the meeting with their president and caught his attention saying, we're not your slaves. So powerful inside info coming up in about 15 minutes. Bob Chapman's with us for part of this segment, and well, this segment, part of the next. Right now, let's go back to your calls. Let's go ahead and talk to who's up next here, John? James in Texas. Go ahead, James.
Hey, guys. Bob, real quick, I wanted to ask you, I know this is not off the subject, but this immigration, this boycotting from cities to cities about Arizona, do you see this as a part of the financial plan to put the states against each other, or just a smokescreen so we can keep an eye on that while they steal our money?
About states against each other, but I do know people against each other. It could create confusion. 65% of Americans agree with what Arizona has done, and so that's been pretty strong backing from the general popular.
Yeah, some polls are 80%, but yeah, some others are 64, 66.
Well, it's obvious the government's not listening to the people, or you've got the city of Austin here doing the same thing. You know, I don't know if we should boycott California. They didn't have any money anyway.
No, California's collapsing like Mexico. And you've got the Ford Foundation, you know, pumping out all this racism to get everybody divided under the name of multiculturalism. I appreciate your call. Any other comments on that, Bob Chapman?
No, none at all.
Let's talk to Nikki in Oregon. Nikki, you're on the air.
Hi. I've been hesitant to call just because of the information that I have. You talk about the hypothalamus, Alex, and you're right when you say that humans have a governor in the brain. It is the hypothalamus. And the hypothalamus is the gatekeeper which denies or allows access to our critical thinking brain. And I have found a way to manually reset and reboot the hypothalamus, which forces and allows reason and logic.
Well, I mean, they admit that that's what fluoride attacks. I mean, I've had scientists on to talk about that. What, I mean, how do you reboot it? I mean, is there some kind of chemical or what?
No. About 7 years ago, I was about to have my third neck surgery in 3 years. I'm also the founder and publisher of a magazine about autism. It's a 501c3. And I had figured out how all that worked in the brain by helping myself, and I stopped myself from having the third neck surgery and unherniated.
Oh, real fast, tell us how you did it, and then send me your info. I'll look into it.
Well, I figured out how to reverse engineer the central nervous system.
All right, well, send me the info. Send me the info then, ma'am, because I need to look. You know, I'm taking calls for Bob Chapman, and there. But I'm not mad at you. It's just we can't do it. Let's talk to Chris in Florida. You're on the air with Bob Chapman. Quick question.
Hey guys, thanks for the opportunity to do this, but I was wondering where can I research and find evidence on the financial situation to show my friends and family how dire the situation really is.
Well, I mean, you can open the newspaper up. President Nicolas Sarkozy threatens to pull France out of Euro. London Guardian, the U.S. faces same problems as Greece, says Bank of England may completely collapse. Listen, I put out the machete trailer on my website. It's on IMDb that it's real, and people are all over the web saying it isn't a real movie when it's admitted it's a real movie. I mean, the public just will not, many of them, wake up. Bob, how do you convince people we're in a financial crisis?
Get them to look at the international forecaster, because everything they need to know every week is in there. And all you have to do is print out the forecaster, 40 or 50 pages, a couple of times a week and hand it to people, or take it and transfer it from your computer to somebody else's. I don't care. I want the word to get out.
Yeah, but then they have to read. Caller, stay there. I'm going to come right back to you.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Our financial expert, Bob Chapman, leaving us here in about 5 minutes, talking about the orchestrated global financial meltdown that's happening. Coming up, a newspaper out of Dublin, Ireland, and also We Are Change, just anti-globalist demonstrators, people that don't know who they are, that just joined us, actually got into a Trilateral Commission event, and this has actually made the news over there, but Trilateral Commission wants war with Iran. That's PrisonPlanet.com. It's also an AFP, and so we'll be talking to one of those gentlemen who talked to one of the Trilateral Commission members here in a moment. But going back to the caller in Florida to get Bob Chapman's take on it, for stations that just joined us, Chris was saying, where do I get documentation that we're in a financial meltdown or that, you know, we're in danger of a total depression? I mean, here it is. President Nicolas Sarkozy threatens to pull France out of Euro. Do you know what this means? That it's now in the Wall Street Journal that the Euro has a good chance of totally collapsing? I mean, there's trillions of dollars, trillions and trillions, tens of trillions, hundreds of trillions. Some, like economist Tarpley, says it's 1.5 quadrillion. I mean, this is hundreds of times all the real money and real assets in the world. It's a weapon system. They're announcing world government. It's a financial takeover. U.S. faces same problems as Greece, says Bank of England. May totally collapse. London Guardian, London Telegraph. I mean, it's all right here. Bob, I mean, I guess if you're talking to the average American who doesn't even know what fractional reserve banking is, what's the quickest, easiest way to explain to them what's happening?
Have them read the forecaster, as I said, you know, before the break. But, I mean, it's all there, everything that they need to know.
Absolutely, the internationalforecaster.com. But, I mean, we've been giving this out. I mean, we've been reading the news. I mean, this is world governments being openly announced. And then the Southern Poverty Law Center writes articles saying I'm crazy and Ron Paul's crazy and we're dangerous and none of it exists. And then you'll turn on CNN. They're announcing world government's good. The banks are taking over. It's insanity. Chris, does that answer your question?
Well, yeah, it kind of does. But I'm also kind of looking for I'm trying to show my mom how important gold and silver is because I really don't know how to describe it, and I'm trying to find the likelihood of how likely inflation is or hyperinflation.
Okay, let me answer that and get Bob's take quickly. This is elementary. Under 1980 inflation numbers, this is mainstream. $2,300, $2,500 an ounce is what it should be. And that's with cooked inflation numbers. They cook the unemployment. It's really 22. They say it's 10. They cook the unemployment. They cook inflation. It's simple. Gold and silver have intrinsic value, always have for 6,000 years. And that's why you see it going up. Bob Chapman.
And that's correct. And the only people who can create inflation is a central bank like the Federal Reserve. And I cover that in the International Forecaster every single day when I go over what happened in the market that day. And if you have any further questions, just get a copy of the Forecaster. My email's address on there. Email me, and I'll talk to them if need be.
Absolutely. And they can also call Midas Resources and get a free complimentary hard copy or digital copy, 40-plus pages on average, by calling 800-686-2237, 800-686-2237. And I guess it's good to throw out a one-minute gold plug today. In fact, let me just pull up what gold numbers are right.
Well, while you're doing that, Midas still has that special on. If they pick up a rooster or a French franc or a Swiss franc for about $260, they just tell them, Alex sent you. Call that number, and you get a free one-year subscription to the Forecaster.
It's even better than that. And again, this is marked into the market when gold was about $1,150. It's up almost $100 from that. European francs, fifth of an ounce, are $256.68, and you get a free subscription, either digital or hard copy, for a whole year when you buy one coin. I mean, that's just such a good deal. They've got British sovereign gold coins, 3.32 12 cents. They've got Lakota Nation rounds. They've got Walking Liberty half dollar silvers at 9.75. You cannot get that anywhere. I mean, that is just an insane deal. Rolls for 1.95. It just goes on. And this offer is about to end. It's going to end over the weekend if gold holds where it's at, and clearly it is. So 800-686-2237. Brokers will be there this weekend. 800-686-2237. Do not procrastinate, folks. I mean, it's so elementary when you've studied it. Gold and silver is what governments, corporations, Europe, all-time records in Europe, all-time records in the United States. 800-686-2237. And you're paying a price because Ted bought a bunch of this when it was lower. He's passing that savings on. 800-686-2237. Ladies and gentlemen, take advantage of that today. Don't wait. Bob, in closing, where do you see gold going in the next 6 months to a year?
Straight up. I'm looking for, we've had the breakout. We might hesitate at 1,300. It's just a technical thing. 1,500 to 1,650. Is where we should be shortly, and if not shortly, by the end of the year. So that alone is worth buying for. And if we get the opportunity to go to 15 or 16 in the next month or so, then we may see 2,500 to 3,000 by the end of the year. Gold is going to $7 to $7,500 an ounce before the end of next year. I mean, the world is upside down. Never mind the inflation that's going on. Don't wait.
Well, I'll say this. I personally bought gold. It was $300 an ounce, and I've done quite well. I don't buy it as an investment, but as an emergency backup. But a lot of people do get it as an investment. And it's come out in C-SPAN hearings that they are manipulating the gold price. But you don't think they can be successful to – but I mean, again, I'm at Kitco looking at the five-year graph. It's going straight up. They can do little manipulations, but every time it goes back up higher. So if you see the trend, I mean, it's straight up. Well, Bob Chapman, I appreciate you joining us today. We'll talk to you again for a full hour or even more coming up next Friday. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you, and thank you all for listening.
You bet. Good to have Bob Chapman with us. All right, now I want to shift gears yet again. The story is up on Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, by Paul Joseph Watson. Excuse me. Trilateral Commission wants war with Iran. And first I want to play a video of the Trilateral Commission meeting a little over a week ago before the European implosion in Dublin, Ireland, and We Are Change, as David Rockefeller was going into the hotel for the secretive meeting. And this is what We Are Change Ireland in Dublin had to say to the kingpin of the banking New World Order system.
Rockefeller, we know what you're doing. We know what you're doing to the world. Rockefeller, your New World Order will never come in. You're running out of time. Scumbag, you've rushed it. You screwed up.
All right. And then they go on to challenge the police and explain how they're selling their people out. In fact, if you still have it queued up at that point, let's play the rest of it. I shouldn't have cut it off.
Hope you're happy working for that dirtbag. Do you know what that guy who you're protecting does? How's it feel like working for a mass murderer? That guy started the eugenics movement, funded the Nazis, monopolizes every business. What sort of world are you thinking for your kids?
It's enough. And it goes on from there. A lot of background noise. But that was We Are Change. Now, Neil Foster from the Sovereign Independent, he just had his own press badge and just moseyed on in to the meeting. And I've moseyed into high security meetings as well. So has Jim Tucker many times. He got shot at in Portugal for it on record back in, what, 99. But let's go ahead and go to this next clip of Neil Foster going. And we're going to talk to one of the We Are Changers coming up after the break. Going right into his table and just talking to him. Here it is.
We're ready now. Come on, let's do it. Mr. Rockefeller, you will never get your new world order. We're not your slaves. We are not your slaves.
I guess that was a shorter clip. There's actually a longer one online where it goes on and on. We'll try to pull it up. But let's go ahead and introduce one of these gentlemen right now. That's Alan Keenan of We Are Change Ireland, which are, again, not left, not right. Freedom. Be the change you want to see in the world. Stand up against the New World Order. We're about to go to break, but he was able at the conference, or the night before the conference, to talk to one of the Russian members of the Trilateral Commission. Tell us how you did this. Tell us how you got in, where you talked to him, and we'll come back and after the break and cover exactly what he said.
Hi, Alex. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for your courage. You're an inspiration to us all. Tell us what he said.
When we got to the hotel, we were outside hanging around outside that for the whole day, waiting to see if we could get an interview with any of them when they were coming out. And we tried talking to a couple of them beforehand. They weren't really that interested in talking to us. So we just said we were students from down to the college down the road, and we were just wondering what was happening in the hotel. And he said they were deciding the future of the world. And one of the things they were discussing on the agenda was the Greek financial crisis. So we asked him a couple of questions about that, and he was more than willing to give us information when he thought we were just students. I said to him that a good solution for the Greek financial crisis would probably have been a world currency, which he jumped at the chance to talk about it. He was saying a world currency is something they all want, and but it'll require a global central bank to be implemented by a global government. We played along with this, and we said that of course that's what we all want. And he said, yeah, that's the dream, that's what we're all trying to achieve. But if there's countries like,
well, let's go over who this guy is, how you ran into him, how you knew he was Trilateral Commission. I also want to get the other newspaper guy on. He went in and confronted him inside the building. Just amazing information. Stay with us. Quick break, sir, and we'll come back with Alan Kennan on the other side of We Are Change Ireland. Stay with us. Well, we have the PrisonPlanet.com article up. Trilateral Commission wants war with Iran. We'll get into exactly what this Trilateral Commission top globalist told them. Again, since we hit that break, start over, go through who he is, what he said to you, what he said about Iran. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex. We went to the Trilateral Commission meeting. It was the very first day of the actual meeting. It was the Friday. There wasn't a lot of people there. And the place was locked down pretty tight with security, so we were only outside the grounds. They wouldn't let us anywhere near the hotel itself. And there was a couple of people that left. We couldn't really get talking to them. They weren't willing to listen to anything we had to say. But there was this one guy. We saw the Trilateral Commission badge. His name was Mikhail Slobodansky, I think. He said he was a Russian advisor to former prime ministers, and that the Trilateral Commission were deciding the future of the world. He went on to say about when we mentioned a global currency as an idea, he said that, of course, that's what they were thinking about, but they'd need a global central bank to implement this and a global government on top of that. But he said that it was a great idea, and it's what they all wanted, and it's what they were working for, but it's not possible yet, because countries like Iran and South Korea and these sort of countries they'd never stand up the same sort of government as America.
Incredible. Continue.
He was more than willing to talk about it for a few minutes until he got pretty uncomfortable when we probed him with further questions, and he said that the Chatham House rules actually prevented him from talking to people, and he might get in trouble for having mentioned what he said to us, and he ran off. We tried to get a few more questions from him, but he wasn't willing to talk to us after that. But he'd given us some incredible information that we didn't think we'd actually get out of any of these guys. He seemed quite naive that he was just willing to talk about it in the open. Like I think they think it's a good thing. Like these low-level guys think they're doing good for the world.
Well, they also think we're all blind. They're so used to the public just blindly walking around drooling, only caring about football or celebrities, that when someone actually, I mean, I've had Rothkopf, the former head of the Kissinger Group, who wrote the book Superclass and admits world government, and he came right on and said world government's basically good and everything, and it turned out he thought I was Alex S. Jones of the New York Times, who has a radio show. But we didn't tell him that. That's happened over and over again. That happened with who was the McClatchy? Greg Gordon, the McClatchy newspaper guy, didn't figure it out till he heard my voice. I mean, we don't call him and tell him we're Alex S. Jones. We say Infowars.com. And I mean, these guys are just so used to everybody. And Greg Gordon's a good guy. He said he'd come back on. He thought we were Alex S. Jones, too. So does the public. I get accused of being a New York Times writer who's 69 years old almost every day. And I get accused of running the Genesis porn website because I'm on Genesis Network. I mean, the public is, again, there's no connection, folks. I mean, the public just is so naive that I think the globalists just think they've got clean sailing. That's why what you and others are doing is really starting to shake them up, that more and more of us can see them.
Yeah, absolutely. It seems that when they come over here, we ended up on the next day, the Saturday, getting a few more little snippets out of people, nothing remotely as big, but none of them seemed to expect it. Not even Rockefeller seemed like he was remotely, they didn't expect to see anyone like us over in Ireland. I don't think they realize that there's a revolution happening here, the same as there is everywhere else in the world, that people are waking up to what they're doing. They know exactly what they're trying to implement, and we're sick of it. They seem like they just never expect people to be here and never expect people to contradict what they want.
You know what I like about the Irish, in all the videos I've seen, and I also hear it from the British, but and I've seen it from Americans as well, but every We Are Change video I've seen from Ireland is that it's got that same commanding strength. as when I've confronted globalists, you know, you need to like almost psychically reach out and say, I am not your slave, and really let them know it. And, you know, instead of, and, you know, some people just kind of namby-pamby doing it or actually, you know, just yelling at them. But it's the way also We Are Change Chicago confronted Gore. We need to just have that authoritative command. And Rockefeller looked scared to death of the We Are Change people in that video. I mean, he turned around and was just disgusted by the fact that people can see him.
Yeah, I don't think he liked it when Rory called him a scumbag. He really heard that. He turned around and gave us that look. Like, he didn't expect to see it at all. Because at that time, most of the there was a group gathered outside the hotel for a little while all day. We were there to oversee their arrival. And then we all kind of dissipated after that. And this was a few hours later. There was only a few of us left. Just a few of the We Are Change guys. It was myself, Adam, Paul, and Rory. We were some of the only ones that were left there. And that was literally 5 minutes before our president arrived with an army escort, and went into the same building, the same meeting room as we just caught David Rockefeller going into.
Alan Keenan, stay there. We've got other folks from Ireland coming up with you. You know, I love seeing new organizations form. Neil Foster, the person who confronted Rockefeller at his dinner table. He's a friend of Alan Keenan, who's also online with us from We Are Change Ireland. And he is on with us. He is the co-editor of the Sovereign Independent newspaper. And in a few minutes, I want to play a clip of last year, Luke Radowski, Stewart, and others of We Are Change going to the Capitol and going up to Senator Jay Rockefeller and bringing up their family funding Hitler on record, the whole eugenics movement. And Jay Rockefeller, Senator Rockefeller, says, you got a lot of cojones, boy. And he just looks at him. I mean, these are gangsters. And they're globalists. They've always, I mean, what, 4 years ago? In fact, later, pull me the David Rockefeller quote. Just say David Rockefeller quote admitting global government takeover. And he says, people have accused me of this, and I say guilty as charged. I can even give you the page number. It's 400 and something in his autobiography that he wrote 4 years ago or 5 years ago now. Let's go ahead and get them both up on the line together. Neil Foster from Dublin, Ireland, and, of course, Alan Keenan of We Are Change Ireland. We'll put both their websites up on screen before they leave us. And, of course, both you guys work together. Neil Foster, good to have you here with us.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us where you, in and around the Trilateral Commission meeting, were able to go find David Rockefeller let him know that you weren't his slave.
Myself and actually the editor of the Sovereign Independent, Mr. Dave Darby, decided we'd just try and get into the hotel, and we just walked straight in the front door past the security and took a seat in the lobby. Maybe half an hour later, after having a cup of coffee and asking a few questions of the waiter, David Rockefeller walked right past us and sat at the table right behind us. So we just decided we had to confront him. When his security guard walked off, we just took a chance.
Well, you're doing a great job. I've read your newspaper. I mean, it's an actual physical newspaper and online. Why don't you give us the website for the Sovereign Independent?
It's www.sovereignindependent.ie.
.ie for Ireland.
Ireland.
Now, the video is short. It looks like it's shot on a cell phone camera. We can clearly...
Yeah. Well, Dave was very conscious of not having the camera confiscated, so he kind of held it down about waist level and just took
what... Sure. So describe the full exchange and what happened and what he did when you came and basically stood beside him.
Well, I put the paper on the table in front of him, but I was very conscious of not touching him or disturbing any of the glasses and stuff on the table, because I didn't want to be charged with assaulting him or damaging property or anything. And Dave, who's the guy with the English accent, was the guy you can hear most on the video. We just said to him, we don't want your New York World Order, and we're not your slaves. And we just walked off and left him to it. But he looked stunned. He looked absolutely stunned. And I'm sure he was, for a moment, very scared.
Well, yeah, everywhere he goes now, we get these reports every few weeks, and videos are posted every month or so of, he's in a walk in the park with his bodyguard. We're not your slaves. We're not your property. We don't want your world government. Everywhere he goes, he's being confronted. And I want to read the quote here. In David Rockefeller's book, Memoirs, he admits he is part of a secret cabal working to destroy the United States and create a new world order. Here's a direct quote from the book, page 405 from the paperback. Some believe we, the Rockefeller family, are part of a secret cabal working against the best interests of the United States, characterizing my family and me as internationalists and of conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure. One world, if you will. If that's the charge, I stand guilty, and I am proud of it. Here's another quote from the Trilateral Commission, 1991, Evian, France. We are grateful the Washington Post, the New York Times, Time Magazine, and other great publications whose directors have attended our meetings and respected their promise of discretion for almost 40 years. It would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world if we would have been subject to the bright lights of publicity during those years. But the work is now much more sophisticated and prepared to march towards a world government. The supranational sovereignty of an intellectual elite and world bankers is surely preferable to the national auto-determination practice in past centuries. Yeah. And
we actually have that quote in the newspaper, and I believe Bill Clinton was at that meeting.
Absolutely, and again, he's given countless speeches along these lines. I want to play the video of We Are Change screaming at him as he entered the hotel to meet with your president. Here's that video. Now, let's go back to a year ago. We Are Change confronting Jay Rockefeller. This is the senator who says we'd be better off never inventing the internet, trying to pass legislation to control it and to restrict it. I mean, this guy is pure New World Order. We ready with that clip? Okay, here it is.
Senator Rockefeller?
Yes.
I'd like to know if you're aware that we, the American people, are aware of the agenda of the Council on Foreign Relations and the Bilderberg Group. And if you could comment on that, please, because very concerning to a lot of us.
You know, I have 37 people lined up right outside Senator Schumer's office, all of them wanting to answer precisely that question.
Well, could you just take a brief moment and let us...
No, because we're not talking. We're talking about something.
Well, something that's so important, it sort of transcends everything else that we're talking about, sir. Could you comment on that, please?
No.
I'd like to know about the Bilderberg Group.
Get yourself some press for credentials.
On behalf of the... to know about the Bilderberg Group, sir?
Well, that's not part of our discussion.
When can we discuss that with you, sir?
Thank you.
Okay, and this is for the senator. This is the scientific group, the nanothermite that's been found in the World Trade Center desk by scientists from around the world. Basically, conclusive proof that there's an Article 3, Section 3 treasonous cover-up going on about 9/11, sir. So,
we'd love to get your opinion on that, too,
Wait,
sir.
Wait, what did you say?
Excuse me, folks.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Two families, the Rockefellers and the Osbournes.
And then it cuts to a clip about their family, and then it goes into Luke Radowski, really hitting him hard. Let's continue rolling this.
...are particularly significant. John D. Rockefeller Sr. contributed a large amount of money to build the Cold Spring Harbor Laboratory in the early 1900s, which housed the Eugenics Records Office from 1910 to 1944. Rockefeller influence also spread overseas to Germany, where the Kaiser Wilhelm Institute for Psychiatry and the Kaiser Wilhelm Institute for Eugenics, Anthropology, and Human Heredity resided. Much of the money used to run these facilities came directly from Rockefeller. These institutes became centers for Nazi eugenics programs during the reign of Adolf Hitler.
Your family starting the modern eugenics movement.
That's the columnist Christian.
Started eugenics. Hitler looked up to the eugenics that your family just started.
Okay, sir.
I think it's time for me to really start moving quickly.
Yeah.
You could just address some of these things. If we're wrong, sir, please just tell us.
No. Go find somebody else to talk to.
Well, your family did start the modern eugenics movement that Hitler is looking up to. And you don't want to talk about the Bilderberg group? Well, what about the Bilderberg?
I certainly do.
You don't want to talk about them? They want to implement eugenics as well.
The truth is coming out, and there's a lot of us that are aware of it.
I'm sure you know some members, sir, if you're not a member yourself.
President Obama's Director of National Intelligence, Admiral Blair, who I greatly respect, have labeled cybersecurity perpetrated through the Internet as the number one national hazard of attack on the home. What if we never invented the Internet?
There you go. So that was interspersed with documentaries and him being confronted. And he tells Luke, you ought to run for Congress. You got a lot of guts. You use another word. But here it is. Israel primed for war on Iran. That's Reuters. So they're openly getting ready for it. And here you talk to one of the Russian advisors who was at the Trilateral Commission meeting, Alan Akian, with We Are Change Ireland. And he goes, yeah, we got to get rid of Iran. We got to go up against them. We got to have a world government. I mean, they got to mop up any sovereign country that's left. And I'm not saying Iran's good, folks. The point is the globalists are a lot worse. Other points you guys want to make about what's happening or what you guys did in concert together to expose the Trilateral Commission in Dublin? Notice they were meeting right before the implosion of the euro.
Well, we had Peter Sutherland was also there, and he went on TV and radio the day after and said that Ireland had to implement more austerity measures. So he obviously got his orders.
And for those that don't know who Sutherland is, tell them.
Well, he's an ex-Goldman Sachs head.
Yeah. And then he goes on your news and tells you, you've got to give us all your money.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, Gordon Brown resigns, as he's been told to do. And we have another puppet government in Britain.
By the way, we ought to queue up that Love Police video. That's another kind of We Are Change group where they're screaming and yelling and we can play it. He doesn't cuss.
William Hague.
Yeah, tell folks about the Love Police.
Well, I actually met Charlie last year in Bristol. They simply go out in a very peaceful and amicable way with their cameras, bullhorns, and they just challenge these people wherever they find them. And that's what we all need to do. We all need to challenge these people because they're not immune from us.
Yeah, the new pitchfork.
And there's too few of them, and we should be at them at every opportunity.
The new pitchfork is a video camera because then other people see the globalists being confronted, and the public begins to realize that both political parties, no matter what major country it is, are controlled, and that's how the ruling class that's totally corrupt and anti-freedom stays in power. Any other comments from you, Alan Keehan?
With regards to the video you were saying about Charlie Veach over in London, they tried to hide that when that was broadcast live, and then Charlie approached him. He went right beside the BBC cameras, and he was shouting at these guys, and he said an awful lot of stuff that they wouldn't want to get out, and the whole audio that was going out live started to break up within moments of him started talking, and then they voiced over it with a BBC broadcaster, so you couldn't hear anything that Charlie and Love Police were actually saying to the politician.
Yeah, there they are at a press conference. It's going out over air, but magically the feed breaks up. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah it's not surprising, really, considering the media blackout on everything over here. Like it's the exact same. I mean, when we approached the Trilateral Commission, there was actually a media invite sent around to some of the Irish media, and I mean the Irish media over here, they're whitewashed. There was a couple of them that went in, and they were told that they could only stay for an hour for the Prime Minister's speech, and then that they had to leave. And we approached these guys when they were leaving, going, "Did you get any information who the Trilateral Commission are, or what they're doing today, or if they've, or if they've any other agenda, and why they're kicking you out? Why it's a private meeting?" And the guys, they're not real journalists at all. They're just too afraid to go and do anything. So we had to go and do the groundwork for them. We got the video and the audio. It's up on our site. It's on wearechange.ie, and it's also up on Freeman Ireland. And then that's going viral on the internet now, and it shows where the new media is actually coming from.
Well, that's why they want to shut the internet down. And I've never seen the Love Police get angry. They always are super nice, but The globalists clearly know that he's Scottish, but they say, get out of here, American, as a mind control op. And he does get a little angry with them. But we're going to go ahead and play that video and audio as the globalists are confronted everywhere. And as new leaders of the British government meet the new boss, same as the old boss, fooled again, are confronted on how the whole system's fake. Here it is.
Ah, George Osborne, Bullingdon Club, William Hague. Hello, the elites. How are the Zionist elites this morning? Thank you for giving us the illusion of democracy. Do you want the puppet on the left or the puppet on the right? Yes, you guys go slightly crazy when you compromise personal morality for political gain. Hey, how was your time on the Rothschild yacht? Do you like the Rothschilds more than you like normal people? George Osborne, isn't it great that you have a country of 70 million people where 7% control all the land? Are you related to the Queen, sir?
Go home, Yang.
Go home, Yang. Oh, some random racism by this gentleman here. Perhaps you'd like to vote for the BNP.
Yeah, perhaps I would, but I'm not going to.
William Hague, George Osborne. Hey, it must be difficult fellating Satan all day. Hey, power and money from the nice teat of Satan. Sorry, I'm not even religious, but you guys are liars and murderers. Total liars and murderers.
You should talk about America.
I'm not even American, my friend. I'm Scottish, so F you.
Even worse, get out to the UK.
Perhaps you'd prefer if we joined the European Union, you little shill idiot.
It's about time the English people stood up.
Yeah, liars. Hello, liars. Hey, big power and money. Politics, yeah. Illusion of democracy. Scumbags. Nothing personal. You guys look great on TV. Sorry.
All right.
Sorry for ruining your press.
And it goes on and on. The point is that they had their handlers in the crowd. You've got the Prime Minister, the new Prime Minister of England, Cameron, up there. He comes in to the press conference, and they just cut the audio feed on the news, and then they end the press conference. Absolutely incredible. I tell you, this is catching on, and this is scaring the system, isn't it, guys?
Oh, absolutely, certainly. I just wanted to add, there was a German delegate came out earlier in the day, and we had a placard there with Rockefeller on it, stating that he was wanted for crimes against humanity. And this German delegate was trying to justify everything that Rockefeller had done, despite everybody around him given evidence to the contrary, and he ended up just walking away.
So a German delegate came up to you and was trying to defend
David Rockefeller, yeah.
What, claiming?
He was a journalist, but he told somebody else later he was an industrialist. So he couldn't keep his story straight for 5 minutes.
Well, I mean, the Rockefellers on record funded the eugenics movement, funded Hitler, funded Planned Parenthood. They're total world government people. David Rockefeller founded all the major UN groups. Their family gave the UN the land. I mean, this is the global empire. And
absolutely. Absolutely. But we have these people coming out trying to justify it all. It's laughable.
Well, more people need to join and support the Sovereign Independent Newspaper. They need to join We Are Change Ireland. Give us both the websites one more time, man.
It's www.sovereignindependent.ie, and Alan can tell you his.
Yeah, we're on wearechange.ie, and there's also an awful lot of us on the Freeman Ireland website. It's freemanireland.ning.com. We're doing an awful lot of meetups on there, and we talk about exactly what's going on in the country, you know.
Well, freedom's really starting to catch on worldwide, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really taking off.
There are actually a couple of events coming up which we're going to hear about, so we'll make it some more footage to you.
Absolutely, guys. Let's talk a little bit more on the other side. We've only got a few minutes left with both of you. You know, no matter what they do to me or one of these guys individually, they can't stop the idea. Like they say in V for Vendetta, I am but flesh and blood, but ideas. Ideas are bulletproof. We'll be right back. Plus thousand people in the last 2 years have died on the border and in Mexico. Mexico is completely collapsing. And I just had it here in my stack. The guys gave it to me. mainstream news out of South Texas with border battles, with cartels, with U.S. forces and Mexican forces battling them. Guys, reprint me that so I can have it at the very end. Thank you. I know you gave it to me, but it's just a complete mess in here. I'll be back Sunday live 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time with the abbreviated Sunday broadcast, and back Monday live 11 a.m. Central. Going back to Alan Keehan, real fast, any other closing comments from the front lines there in Ireland?
I just wanted to say to you that I'm not sure if you saw the story, but there was a couple of guys who were there with us, Mark and a couple others, that actually served the Irish police with an arrest warrant for Henry Kissinger that was actually given out by a Spanish judge. And they said they'd try and process that, but it'd be difficult because it was the weekend. And now we've looked into it, and the actual Spanish judge who served the arrest warrant on Henry Kissinger for war crimes, he's now been forced to step down for, the reasons they gave are probably different than what they are. But, this wouldn't remotely go through over here. We tried to get it processed by the police over here, and they seemed to, like, they'd listen, and they said they'd forward it on while Henry Kissinger was in the country. But then they said they were going to have to wait till Monday at the very earliest, when Kissinger was already on a plane home.
All right. Well, good talking to you. I appreciate you being on with us. We'll talk to you again soon. Closing comments from Neil Foster with the Sovereign Independent newspaper, who's confronting these people.
I would just like to encourage everybody out there, if you see these people in the street, or if they attend meetings, go around there and tell them what you think of them. Because, these people think they're totally immune from the public and totally cut off from the public. And if the public get in their face, then that's all we can do, and let them know that we know what they're doing.
Absolutely. Good to talk to you. I appreciate you coming on the show, and I'm buoyed by the work you guys are doing. It just encourages everyone, and it's good to be working with people all over the world against the New World Order. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for listening.
All right, Alex. Come
on. You bet. We're out of time, ladies and gentlemen, and my guys do a great job of giving me news, but I mix it up here in my stack. I've got a particular report here out of Channel 5 television. Zeta's preparing for assault on Reynosa, and this is out of KRGV-TV, and more the cartels are attacking police, they're attacking citizens, they're killing people. What did you just tell me? Yeah, just roll the video in the background, we won't have time to play the audio. And it says, Zeta's preparing for assault on Reynosa. This is amazing. Channel 5 News, KRGV. I mean, this is what's going on. And then they put movies out, coming out in September, like Machete, glorifying these people. I mean, this is just insane. And it says, trusted Channel 5 News source confirms a potentially dangerous situation is unfolding along the border. According to multiple law enforcement agencies, the Zeta is one of the most dangerous drug gangs, preparing for an assault on the Reynosa area. The battle is supposed to begin this weekend as they kill police and military. We're told it will likely last longer. Channel 5 News contacts, DPS, other law enforcement agencies have confirmed this information is legitimate and very real. So, I mean, we'll cover it Sunday. We'll know more about it then. And if something big breaks out, I'll do an emergency live transmission, internet only, at Infowars.com and at PrisonPlanet.tv. Now you know why I'm so concerned about films like Machete, where it glorifies the drug dealers who are going to kill the evil whitey. I mean, it's just, we need to all come together against tyranny, against racism by any group. Great job with the crew. Another incredibly powerful radio transmission. I had a death row inmate on who talked to Timothy McVeigh. That came on in the second hour. God bless you all. Retransmission starts now.